about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If you'd been to war, you'd know the look. See, you and Peggy, you got the look. You still think it's Tuesday. You have no idea what's coming.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You know, we said it's the biggest primary day in American history.
It is.
We're getting a little nervous up here. I mean, this is going to be
this
a
is big time big stuff.
This is big time stuff. This is major leagues.
You betcha.
This is the big day.
This is the closest we've ever come to a national primary.
It's the big show.
It's going to be juggling swords, well, shall we say?
No, not swords, please. How about just balls?
Balls, 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 balls.
And now
you're not that funny. But the good news is this business has nothing to do with money.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, and it would be the 19th of April.
You sound good, man.
Thank you.
Sound good. You've been up about 15 minutes?
No. I got up on time.
Really?
It's just there were other things, other concerns that I wasn't quite up on. Like I have to bring the dress-up clothes
thing. All I know is Chip picks up the phone, and she goes, uh-huh, uh-huh. And she hangs up the phone and she just hangs her head and she goes, monkey.
That's not what happened.
It is what happened.
Pretty much.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So this happened.
I was down there and I watched our police and our firemen down in 7-Eleven, down at the World Trade Center right after it came down.
Look, I know that it's unfair to make fun. Hey, Ellie McKay.
Oh, hey, Bean.
I know that it's unfair to make fun of anybody for an honest misspeak. We all do it. We've all said words.
A lot.
A lot of times it happens. People email me all the time and go, hey, you said this and you meant that. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes that happens and it's just a brain fart. But I feel like President Trump is going to be Bush-esque in the number of things that he says that are going to be hilarious.
That's why I want him to be President Trump. But he's not going to be. He is. He's falling apart.
But keeps saying that.
Falling apart.
He keeps going higher and higher in the polls.
He's falling apart.
I think he's at 30 points up in California, I think, which is the primary that's probably going to put him over the top for delegates.
Sweet baby Jesus.
What I'm saying, Kevin, is now we'll have a memorial and a celebration and a remembrance on 7-Eleven every year in addition to 9-11. So he's given us twice the parties.
You think President George W. is going, yes! No, George Bush Jr.? Which one is it?
George W. Bush.
George W.
Not a junior.
Don't you just think he's somewhere going, please let him be president. Please let him be
Why?
President.
You think it reflects on his legacy?
No, because I think then he won't be considered quite so dumb.
I see.
Yeah.
He does seem like a genius now.
Right.
He did.
I miss George
some
W. Bush so much.
Nuclear misspeaks.
He did, right.
7-Eleven, though.
But nuclear is a little different than 7-Eleven.
Wow.
Down on 7-Eleven, down at the World Trade Center, right after it came down.
Right. You know, like they do.
Oh.
How about that whole thing?
How about that whole thing, Allie? That's a fantastic question. Anyway, welcome into Kevin and Bean Show here for a, let's say it's a
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. I got a little feature I like to call that we do every once in a while. You be the judge.
You be the judge right now. You can be the judge right now. You be the judge.
Here comes the judge.
You be the judge right now. Come on now and be the judge.
Young man in the news yesterday, you probably saw it.
Guilty!
Except for Kevin, who doesn't watch the news because he's a kid. And his name is, and I'll pronounce this poorly, I apologize. His name is Karoldine Maksoumi.
Guilty!
He is an Iraqi who has lived in the United States, I think, for 6 years, maybe?
Guilty!
He's not, we don't, you don't even, I haven't even, you gotta hear the, wait for the evidence
okay,
here.
Okay, okay.
He is a 26-year-old student at the University of California, Berkeley. He's on a Southwest Airlines plane yesterday, and before the plane takes off, he decides to call his uncle in Baghdad. Okay?
Okay.
So he's having a conversation on the phone like you do before they make you turn it off and close the doors and you take off on your plane. He's flying from Los Angeles to Oakland and he's, again, speaking to his uncle in Baghdad. Well, he's Iraqi, as is his uncle, so they are speaking Arabic.
Uh-oh.
So a passenger sitting behind him calls over the flight attendant and says, hey, heads up, this guy's speaking Arabic. What's the deal?
What's up with that?
How about that whole deal there? And the flight attendant goes to the people who she would contact that come on the plane and take the man off the plane and interview him and say, hey, what's this all about, speaking Arabic? And he says, I'm an Arabic speaker. It's unclear in the stories that I have read whether they would not let him back on the plane and would not rebook him on a different Southwest flight, but he did end up taking his flight later in the day on a Delta flight. Now, I don't want to jump to conclusions because it's possible that they interviewed him too long, that he missed that flight because
right.
they went ahead and took off without him, and there wasn't a convenient Southwest flight later. But they did not let him on Southwest flights.
Pretty sure Southwest flies to Oakland 8,000 times a day.
Yeah, every hour I would think so. Yeah. Southwest declined to provide details about the incident but said in a written statement that the airline does not tolerate discrimination because naturally he and others are saying, well, that just sounds like Islamophobia right there. Prior to the departure of Flight 4620, our crew made the decision to investigate a report of potentially threatening comments overheard on board our aircraft. A group of our employees, including the flight crew, made the decision to review the situation. We understand local law enforcement also spoke with that passenger as the aircraft departed the gate. So I guess if the question is, you be the judge, I'll ask you, did the woman behind the passenger do the right thing by alerting the air crew that a man was speaking Arabic on the plane? Did she do the right thing? We're always being told by Homeland Security, if you see something, say something. If something doesn't feel right. Or was that a misstep on her point?
It was a misstep on her point because it's just a different language that she doesn't understand. However, I get it. I get mm-hmm. when people get freaked out and then in her head she's making up this whole scenario.
Oh, yeah.
I understand how that happens. And she's seeing the plane go down. She's freaking out. So see something, say something. But the misstep was the flight attendant taking him off the plane.
So the flight attendant, you think, should have said, ma'am, I appreciate you bringing that my attention, but he's just speaking Arabic.
I'm sorry he ain't speaking American for you, but people speak other languages, yeah.
Kevin, your thoughts?
I agree with Hallie. I think that's an odd move by Southwest. Although, having said that, what's the worst case scenario?
The worst case scenario is that he misses his plane and
no. I'm saying the worst case scenario is you were alerted as the airline and did nothing.
Right.
That's the worst case scenario. And then something goes south, and then all of a sudden, now Southwest Airlines is to blame. But this is a purely cover your ass move.
But doesn't? But I mean,
that screwed that person that wasn't right.
I mean, I guess we're just at a point, you know, only a few years past what happened on 7-Eleven to where Arabic plus plane equals bomb, right? Or equals hijacking, or equals fly into building, or something
right.
like that. I guess is what was in that lady's mind. But on the other hand, isn't singling this guy out as a potential terrorist the same as, oh, my God, I don't want to walk down the sidewalk next to that black guy because he's going to rob me? You know what I mean? Isn't it just making
the
complete snap judgment just based on where the person is from?
Yeah, I would think
or
so,
what
yeah.
the person looks
Nobody
like.
Nobody scares me like white men, so.
Because they hike.
Right? They hike. They murder.
They,
all
they
of that.
They go on cruises.
They yes. always murder.
Yes. So I'm reporting white men up and down every single day.
So anyway, I suspect we haven't heard the last of this, but I just thought that was an interesting story to kind of put yourself in the shoes of the people on the plane, the people who are working at the plane, and what it was like for this young man who's just like, hey, I'm just calling home and speaking in my native language to my uncle before I take off to go back to Berkeley where I am a student because I'm an American. You know
and
what I mean?
Omar gets stopped at every airport.
Right.
Every airport.
Well, he should.
I mean, he should. Right.
He never flies without something being strapped to his
right?
chest. So. Anyway, so that's a thing that happened.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Stranger danger. Stranger danger.
Felicia Day will be in studio today.
Yes, she
love
is.
Love her.
I love her, too. I'm just agreeing
yeah.
with
it's
you.
It's weird seeing him and seeing him do the bell. It just
and
it
knowing
makes me...
I'm not using my hands.
Oh.
It's not that you said, yes, she is. It's that you said, yes, she is.
I didn't say it like that.
You, did.
You certainly
no,
did.
You guys hear that. You guys are calling the flight attendant over, and all
wrong.
I'm doing is innocently saying, yes, she is coming in today, and she's lovely.
Mm-hmm. Comedian Ben Glebe is in the studio today.
Yeah,
he is. Excited about that? Yeah, he is. Anderson Cooper will be on the show today. How about that?
I love Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper.
He's dreamy.
Cooper.
He's so good.
He's so dreamy.
A preacher went to heaven and took pictures.
He's
Did
handsome.
You guys hear that?
He's rich.
Yeah, he is.
He's all of those
good
things.
Good family.
Yeah.
Yeah, just good stock.
Good dude.
Sorry,
yeah.
I thought we were moving on.
Oh, yeah, preacher.
That's my bad.
Right.
Yeah. Corey Michael Smith will also be on the program today, who plays the Riddler on Gotham. Very excited about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. This is, it is 5:53.
Yes, it is.
Is what he meant to say.
That's what this is.
This is 5:53. Oh, no, now it's 5:54. It's not, this isn't it anymore. Now what is this?
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
Briefly, because Allie wasn't here yesterday.
Yeah.
So you got a car wreck in Coachella, and you decided, rather than get a ride back with all of the people who work at K-Rock who were all sick of me back, you decided to Uber. And I had listeners who emailed me yesterday. I don't know why I didn't think of this. Why didn't you rent a car? One way would have cost you a fourth of what you paid in Uber. Could have gone to Avis, rented a car, dropped it off in L.A. Boom.
Bean,
done.
Bean.
What? Seriously, why didn't you rent a car?
Rent a car instead of paying a driver almost $500 to take you home from Coachella.
Hang on. Rent.
Well, it's too late now. You're
a
back.
Car.
You're back now. I'm just that for, would have been another
for next
option.
Time though. For
another
next.
Option on.
You're thinking Kevin goes through a series of options before he makes his choices.
He's just like, I'm going to do the first thing that comes into my mind.
Of course, that's what he does. That's what he does all the time, everywhere.
Kev Dog, eat dog.
Kev Dog.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is it would have been another way to go, a different option.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been.
Kevin, God damn it.
I can't get someplace Uber. That's what the thought process was.
In real time?
Yes. Then ching. Then he pulls out the mauve card, whatever he's carrying, and Linus calls up a guy and he makes it happen. Stop pretending there's any thought that goes into this decision.
Kev Dog, eat dog.
Kev Dog.
I can't stop thinking about the process of that he ended up coming back that way.
You shut up.
Okay. All right. Rob is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning.
I'm stunned he just didn't get a hot air balloon. That's what I'm surprised by.
Hold on. Hot air balloon.
I bet he didn't build himself some sort of hovercraft.
Right?
Using large fans and inner tubes. Speaking of see something, say something in the situation in airports.
Yes.
What you guys were talking about earlier this morning at the opening show made me think of something. What if you were on a plane and you saw a creepy dude take a picture of an ass of an attractive woman who was getting off the plane? Now, with that, would you feel obligated to notify someone?
Absolutely.
If you saw a creeper taking pictures from behind of some attractive young woman?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you have to alert the authorities because of creeper?
Was it Bean?
Why, yes. Yes, it was in this case, Bean.
Hey, now.
Weird creeper dude?
Look.
No, you look.
Look,
we were in public. She didn't see it. It wasn't embarrassing.
Well, if she that didn't see it, that is perfectly fine.
That does not make it not creepy. You
know
that, right?
It's not creepy like the webcam I have at Allie's apartment. If she doesn't know about it, it can't hurt her.
Oh,
for those of you who aren't aware, Bean saw an attractive woman on a plane and spent an inordinate amount of time tweeting about her. And then as she got off the plane, he followed her and took pictures of her from behind.
That is
creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy
that's
alert.
That's a completely skewed representation of what happened. I didn't spend a lot of time tweeting about her.
I'm going to spend the rest of the time on the plane doing research to find out who she is.
Oh, I spent a lot of time researching her. But
that's inordinate.
Okay, but I got on a plane yesterday to come to L.A., and there was a model who I recognized, a famous model who I recognized on my flight.
Right.
And I wanted to know which one she was. I wasn't going to ask her which model was on my flight because I knew her. So that was what I was writing about was, hey, I wonder who this model is. And then I never figured it out. So I thought it might be.
You said you spent the whole flight researching.
Yes, I never came.
Does that just mean looking at her?
You just Google imaging model.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
because I was hoping. I think it might have been one of the Hadids. I think it might have been a Hadid. But anyway, so the point is, I couldn't figure out who it is, so then I was giving
so
up.
So you had no choice but to take pictures of her ass then, well, because that's what you do when you can't identify
someone.
Because
he's a chicken. He doesn't want to take a picture of her face.
No.
He's like, oh, I'm going to hide behind a trash can and snap some photos.
Just be creepy.
Yeah,
just be creepy.
This was, we came off, I wasn't following her, we came off the plane at the same time, we were both walking toward baggage claim. That's all it was. So I thought, hey, I'll.
And your phone accidentally took a picture of her ass. It just happens, you know, how that happens.
I took it on purpose. It was my farewell, because now that's
your
a lifelong.
Farewell.
Because
farewell to what? To any decency you may have had left?
No, because now it's going to be a lifetime mystery that will haunt me. But no. I had that was the end of me being able to figure it out, and I had to.
So
let
you can
it
say
go.
To people, hey, do you recognize this model? Oh no, wait, you can't, because it's a picture of her ass.
Who's this butt? That's what you wanted to know, right there. Who's the butt? Who has this butt?
It wasn't creepy at all.
No,
I would beg to differ. As would America.
Well.
It's a bigger disaster than 7-Eleven, in my opinion.
Going for the butt.
Going for the butt. By the way, the rest of us being, just so you know, we would see a model, and we would go, hey, I think I know
model.
Her. Huh, what else should I do? That's it.
Let me look through the Sky Mall.
Right.
See if I can buy one of them bug suckers.
But guys, forget for a moment that it's a model. It's a celebrity. I saw a celebrity that I recognized.
Right, and I'm saying we would do the same thing, and which is, oh, that's a celebrity.
I wish I knew who that
what
person
else
was.
Could I do?
I want to put a name to the face. That's all I was trying to do.
You want to put a name to the ass, apparently, given your photos.
I'm just saying.
It's creepy to take a picture of a woman's ass, especially when she's not aware that it's going on, and you're surreptitiously just taking a picture of her ass.
I didn't take a picture of her ass, by the way. It was a full photo of her walking away. It wasn't like it was a
And how does that help you identify anyone in any way?
I was trying to
put... If that's part of your process.
I would like to suggest that perhaps this conversation needs to be had later today.
With the authorities.
With a lot.
With the authorities. Involved.
And more time to actually delve into what was going on there.
If I had spoken with her, I think she would have liked me very much.
Oh, Bean. What you wrote.
What did I write?
Let's do that
never
later.
Never did put a name to the face of the famous model on my flight today, but I will always remember her walking away.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
Come on, Bean.
All right, back to you, Ralph.
Sad news.
Bean's alive.
Bean's alive, and Doris Roberts is dead. Just such a talented lady. Hilarious. Of course, picked up 4 Emmy Awards for her work as Marie Barone on Everyone. Everybody Loves Raymond. Died on Sunday in Los Angeles. She was 90 years old. Before she even got on Everybody Loves Raymond, she was already a legendary character actress. She had a lengthy run on Remington Steele. She was a regular on that show. She guest starred on classic sitcoms like Mary Tyler Moore and All in the Family and Rhoda and Barney Miller. Nominated 11 times, by the way, for Emmys for all of her work. Just an outstanding lady and actress, and sad news as she passes away at 90. But at least she didn't have to see Bean's tweets.
Right.
So there's an upside, really.
I took a picture of Doris once when she was walking away. Pretty hot.
Really?
I mean,
you just have abandoned all sense of
right?
humanity. You're just an odd creature.
But
now.
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
Come on.
That is the answer.
Come on.
Today's celebrity birthday is Maria Sharapova. Legendary tennis player is 29 years old today. Hayden Christensen turns 35. Kate Hudson's 37. Boy, that new Mother's Day movie looks good, doesn't it? Kate Hudson and Julia Roberts in a short haircut?
No.
Oh, that's right. That's what I meant to say.
No.
James Franco's 38. Ashley Judd is 48. And actor Tim Curry, probably still best known as Frank Furter from Rocky Horror Picture Show, 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We'll talk to CNN's Anderson Cooper coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know that we've ever had Mr. Cooper on before.
I don't think so.
Such a big fan.
Yeah.
Love him so much.
Okay.
South Africa is where we take you right now. There is a preacher in the news who has been creating a little bit of a controversy because he's the leader of the Church of Incredible Happenings, by the way. Which sounds like an awesome church.
That does sound pretty cool.
That sounds like it'd be a fun place to go to church.
Yeah. Only better would be the church of what's happening.
Exactly. And he is very popular there and claims to have recently visited heaven and taken photos of heaven on his smartphone. Now, Kevin, you may have dived deeper into the story than I did.
Yeah.
Did he die and then come back to life? How did he visit heaven?
I don't think so. I think he just visited. I think it was just a temporary visa.
Huh.
I think because he's a prophet, he's able just to go wherever, right?
So he could go without even...
Is that how it works?
I just said, right? Like, that's a thing.
Prophet Mburo from South Africa took pictures of heaven on his smartphone. And here's the best part of this article from the BBC. Those eager to see photographic proof of the afterlife will have to open their wallets, though. And Burrow has asked those who wish to view the pictures for a donation of about 5,000 Rand, which is about, I don't know, $500, right? Roughly? $500-$600 to see photos of heaven.
Right, but where else can you get photos of heaven?
So
right?
In your mind, it's a pretty good deal.
That's right.
It's a pretty good deal.
He so should be charging.
We wanted to find out more about this, so we asked Dave if there's any way he could line it up. And on the line from South Africa, we have the prophet himself, Mr. Mburo. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Dave?
Well, we're doing fine, but we're a little confused on how the details of your visit to heaven worked out, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry you're confused. How can I help you to understand better?
Well, first of all, did you die?
No, that would be crazy.
Okay. But what you did isn't crazy.
Who can die and then go to heaven and come back?
Uh-huh. Right.
It would be a crazy claim to
but
say.
But who could be alive
only
and go
Jesus
to...
Jesus could do that. I am not Jesus.
Okay.
I am just going to visit heaven, take some pictures, and then come back.
But who could be alive and then go to heaven and come back? That also doesn't exist.
Prophet Mburo.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. How do you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry.
I'm Prophet Mburo.
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 How did you get there?
You okay? You're choking.
It sounded weird being saying
Mburo.
Again.
What? What's happening?
Don't give him the Heimlich maneuver, because I think he has something got in his esophagus.
Prophet, say it again, please, so that being...
I'm Prophet Mburo.
Moro. All right, so it seems like this is a great blessing to have been to heaven.
Well, I am the leader of the Church of Incredible Happenings.
Right.
And I have done many incredible things being the prophet of the Church.
Uh-huh.
So I have done many things that seem to be impossible, but are just incredible happenings.
So other than just going to heaven, you've done other things?
Yes.
Like what?
I have healed peoples. During the sermon
that
I've had.
That's impressive.
I once delivered a fish from the womb of a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
A fish? Instead of a baby?
Yes.
I saw
Why
that.
Why was there a fish in her?
Because the woman had sex with Mike Trout.
You're stupid.
Prophet, it seems like
you're telling a prophet who's been to heaven and taken pictures.
That lady called me stupid.
That he's dumb.
I am not stupid. I have delivered fish for a moment.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
Prophet, why wouldn't you share these incredible photos of heaven with your followers for free? It seems as a minister, it seems like that's something that would be expected.
Listen, they're running a church does not come for free.
Right.
It takes money to run a church, also to give charity to the people who need it here in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
And so if I have something of value to some people, like pictures of heaven, then it's $340.
Okay.
How cheap are you? Pictures of heaven.
It's a lot of money to look at a photo. That's all I'm
saying. Can you describe the photos?
Is it? How many other... how much do you usually pay for a picture of heaven?
Well, I don't because I'm not sure 100% I'm convinced you really did go to heaven. I think
have
this...
them right here. It's all the pictures.
Did you get a picture of God?
No. God and I did not take a picture.
Okay.
But I did get a selfie with Jesus.
Is that right?
Wow. Okay.
Yes. And he's wearing a man bun these days.
Oh.
Which I find Jesus. Very disturbing.
That is kind of disappointing, yeah.
But I'm looking at the pictures now, and they're very impressive. I would easily pay $340 for them.
Okay.
Well, give us a clue. What's in these pictures?
There's me with Jesus.
Okay. Right. That's a beautiful photo.
You're not looking at it.
Well, I just assume, just based on what you've said, it's... cool to have.
All he said was a selfie with Jesus. There's no description there.
Don't say it's beautiful like you're looking at it, because you've not paid me my $340.
All right, I'm looking away. Go ahead, Prophet.
There's a chocolate fountain. Chocolate fountain in heaven.
Of course
sense.
They do. That does make sense.
This is Kate Upton serving me boneless chicken wings.
Whoa! That does sound like heaven.
Yeah, right. And there's a... I like no bones. And that's what I like about the heaven chicken wings. They're boneless.
No bones.
Oh, okay. All right.
You can choke or nothing on them.
Okay.
But no beer, sadly.
Oh, really?
No beer.
I was so sad to find out.
That's a bummer.
In heaven, they have no beer.
Okay.
That's why we drink it here.
I have heard that, yes.
All the Music of Heaven is performed by Billy Ocean. It's a picture of me and Billy.
What?
That's a surprise.
Backstage.
Billy Ocean?
Yes, at the Heavenplex Theater.
Okay, all right.
And here's, well, that's just a picture of some model's ass I took getting off a plane. I'm sorry, that should
Wait,
not be in there.
You took the picture of a model's ass getting off a plane?
I once took a picture of a model's ass getting off a plane. But then someone said I was creepy.
Yeah, you were.
Boro?
I'm just going to go out and say it. I think he's America's Anchorman.
He is.
I don't think there's anybody. I mean,
no.
Right?
He's dreamy.
Right?
He's great at what he does.
I believe what he says.
Everything.
I like it.
I don't have the category of
America's Anchorman.
Anchorman. I don't have that category.
I'm going to get that started right now.
Yeah.
And how grateful is Anderson Cooper to be on our show not having to talk about Donald Trump for 5 minutes? Is
Do
he
you
not
see
on the phone?
The check?
Is he not on the phone?
Do you see the check?
No, I didn't. I wasn't looking at the thing at all.
You should. Oh, there he is now.
Okay, see, now, Toasted, take it back.
Take what back? You were talking about it while it wasn't on hold.
I just did the big intro.
Oh, this is going well.
I'm sorry, Anderson. You've come in the middle of a fight. This is a very bad time for us.
Man, this is off the rails.
Yeah. I know, right?
You're welcome.
First of all, we just declared you America's Anchorman. I hope you're okay with that. I think that's something we're going to try to get going.
Okay.
Second of all, I was saying how great it must be for you to be doing press on the book and movie that we're excited to talk about because it's 5 minutes of your day you don't have to talk about Donald Trump. And that just must feel pretty good about now, right?
Well, I'm ready for some Trump questions. I'm fully anticipating it.
Sit down.
You can sneak some in.
There he is.
Anderson Cooper on the line from CNN. He has a thrilling documentary out on HBO right now called The Rainbow Comes and Goes, a mother and son on life, love, and loss. There's also a companion book that is available in bookstores all over the place. And Anderson, I think a lot of people will be surprised because they know you as a very famous person who's been on TV for a long time. A lot of people are going to be surprised to find out that your mom is way more famous and has done way more crazy things than you have in her long life.
That is totally true. Yeah, my mom is Gloria Vanderbilt, and she's 92, and she's really been famous longer than anybody else alive today that I can think of. I mean, her birth made headlines. She was the subject of a huge custody battle when she was 10, at the height of the Depression. She's, you know, done designer jeans and had a tremendous life, and it's sort of me discovering about who she actually is. I think a lot of us, as our parents get older, the relationship changes, but often you don't kind of ask them questions. You don't learn about who they really are as an adult. And so when my mom turned 91, we decided to kind of change the conversation between us and put aside past embarrassments and resentments and whatever it is, and get to know each other before it's too late. And so that's where the book, The Rainbow Comes and Goes, comes from.
So here's how confident you are. At 60, you don't start asking questions. She turns 70, and you're like, no, I'm not ready yet.
No,
80, you're like, you know what? I'm going to wait this lady out.
I've got time.
And then she's 90. You're still not asking these questions. So now you feel like it's finally time.
You know, it's hard sometimes to overcome just like the past and you know, I've been working so much the last 20 years, I just didn't have the time to, like, sit down with her. And so, and frankly, we did this, we started this conversation really over email. I got her on email, like, 2 years ago. I actually got a friend of mine to do it because I have no patience, and I knew it would take her a while. But she loves it, and...
When you say you got her on email, you mean she started using email 2 years ago?
Yeah, probably.
Sweet.
Oh, you're so lucky. You avoided all those forwarded emails from your parents. You have no idea, Anderson.
Yeah, no, that's true. I know. But my mom still doesn't quite get emails, so she'll send me like 4 copies of the same email. I'm like, Mom, I got it the first time. Like, well, how do I know you got it? I'm like, A, trust the machine.
Trust the machine.
So Anderson, the impression I get, and this could be completely a malformed opinion, so please jump in and tell me if I'm wrong, is that for many, many, many years, even while you were establishing your credentials as a journalist and making your name on television, you didn't talk about your mom. It was something you didn't want to be associated with. What changed where you became, all right, I'm going to out myself as being Gloria Vanderbilt's son?
Well, I mean, it wasn't anything I was ashamed about. I mean, my mom's a really cool lady. She's like the coolest person I know. So it was more that, you know, when you start out, you want to make your own name. And I was glad I didn't have that last name Vanderbilt because it comes with a whole lot of baggage and probably assumptions about what your life must be like. And, you know, I wanted people to just focus on the work I was doing and make a name for myself. And then, you know, just more recently, I sort of feel like, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm pretty established. And really this thing happened where we started conversing in a new way. And I realize there's a lot of people, I think, who would like to change their relationship, particularly with an aging parent, before it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it seems like this book is encouraging people to do.
I feel like that's a strange move. Most people would not say, hey, my parent is famous and I don't want to be associated with them. I want to make it on my own. Usually they go, hey, you know who my mom is? So you can move along a little quicker.
I mean, the news, it wasn't like I was entering the fashion business. You know?
True.
So in the world of news, it's not like she had connections that were, you know, I mean, I started by making a fake press pass and borrowing a camera and going to wars by myself for the first 3 years.
Yeah, so you're crazy. You're an insane human, Anderson. You make dumb decisions.
There wasn't much she could, you know, help me out with that. And also, I was overseas in a lot of dangerous places, and I didn't really, you know, there's kidnapping, and I didn't want people to think, like, oh, some, you know,
oh,
some,
yeah.
Somebody famous.
That makes sense.
Wandering around.
All right.
So through these conversations that you've had with your mother, what is the most shocking thing that you found out that you were not prepared for?
I mean, just my mom's life is kind of been lived on an epic scale. I mean, she was involved with, like, Frank Sinatra and Marlon Brando and Howard Hughes and Errol Flynn and all these people that I had no idea about. And I remember as a kid, like, watching Robin Hood with Errol Flynn, an old movie, and saying to my mom, I must have been, like, 11, saying, like, hey, did you ever know Errol Flynn? She was like, oh, yes.
What?
Go on, Mom.
And now I sort of, now I know, you know, how, shall we say, active she was.
And, no, but so, I mean, no one wants to have that. Like, no one wants to have a conversation with their parent that is anywhere near their sex life.
But that's why doing it over email made it so much easier. You know, you spare yourself the mortification, the embarrassment. But it's cool because, you know, when my dad died when I was 10, I used to have this fantasy that maybe he had written me a letter that would one day show up when I turned 18 or when I graduated college or something. It would tell me all the things I didn't know about him, what he hoped for my life. And there wasn't any letter. And I didn't want to have that same thought of my mom. And you know, I'm glad it's really been kind of life-changing to get to know her as an adult and see her as an adult and have her see me in the same way before it's too late.
Did you sit her down and say, write me a note? Seriously, write a note. Now, here's a pen and a paper. Write a note to me that you love me.
Well, yeah, I know, but you know, it doesn't, people don't do it. You think you have time, you think,
yep.
You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know who lost a parent who had the exact same fantasy about there being a letter that would one day show up.
Well, you sure tried to wait your mom out. You did everything you could, man. You were in no rush to tie up that loose end. Anderson, we're almost out of time here. Anderson Cooper on the phone, by the way. Again, the documentary is currently playing on HBO. It's fantastic. It's called The Rainbow Comes and Goes. Do I also need to read the book if I've already seen the documentary? Because we kind of feel like reading is for losers, Anderson.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. There's about 5,000 librarians I know who would like to hang you right now. You know, the documentary, which is actually called Nothing Left Unsaid, the book is The Rainbow Comes and Goes, but they are very different. The book goes into a lot more detail and is a lot more about sort of our relationship. The film is just kind of my mom's incredible, crazy life. It's going to be on CNN at the end of the month. If you don't
Good. I loved it, by the way. I'm for reals. I loved the documentary. And I can't imagine. I mean, look, everything that happens to you as a kid shapes the way you are. But I feel like part of the reason you became a journalist is because of the kind of life you grew up with fascinating people like Charlie Chaplin and Truman Capote and people like that coming over to your house for dinner. And you were exposed to adult conversations and ideas from an early age. And I bet that is why you're a journalist today.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely had a lot to do with sort of confidence and, you know, ability to talk to people and interest in other people.
Well, it's great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've been fans for a long time, and I've had a crush on you forever, but I think I now have a crush on your mom as well. So,
You know, she's available.
I saw her say in the movie that she's not ruling out getting married again, so one day, Anderson, I could be your stepdad.
Oh, my
this
Lord.
This took a real weird turn.
This could be the worst
that.
Thing that ever happened to you, Anderson. Before you go, I want to give you props for one thing, because we play this soundbite, I don't know, probably 3 times a week since it happened.
That's one of the greatest things that ever happened on TV, Anderson.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. I've got the sense of humor of a 12-year-old boy with the giggle of a 12-year-old girl. So.
As do we.
Exactly. Hey, great talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, anytime.
You bet. Bye-bye.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
still doing the good work that you knew
mm-hmm.
before you left.
Nothing has changed.
Consistency. That's my importance. We're going to catch up with the
Beer Mug's mom.
That's what I said.
What does it mean?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I did good work.
Consistency is your importance.
That's
consistency.
Right. Consistency. That's my importance.
It's my importance.
What did I miss
What
yesterday?
Were you even shooting for?
Kevin was on a Coachella hangover yesterday, Allie. You should have been here. It was awesome.
It was great.
But you got that 3 or 4 day a week thing too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working on it.
It's a lot better, right?
It is.
Yeah.
What about the Riddler, you guys? What about the Riddler? Who's
He's
with
in jail.
Me? What about Corey Michael Smith, who is on Gotham, joining us coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock? What about that?
I'm sorry, what's your question?
That's not a question.
What about him?
You're saying just, what about it, but no, there's no question
I'm
there.
Just saying
great
that.
Actor, great character
yes,
on
that's,
the show.
That's all I'm saying. And we'll talk to him coming up next.
But why didn't you say that, though?
First, Ralph is here with the show, but it's been on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Couldn't you ask how great is he on that show? Or are you enjoying it or something?
Anything
about
that involves
the Riddler?
Anything that involves a question that we might be able to answer.
Okay. How about that whole thing?
I'll take your note on that.
Why'd you come back, Ellie? You were over the wall.
I know.
You had your shot. You're free as a bird.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome.
You don't reverse in the tunnel and climb back into the prison. That's your bad example.
Right? You don't do that.
You don't reverse in the tunnel. Reversing the tunnel is to my importance. What the hell?
What's happening?
It's just the worst.
Not cool.
Anderson Cooper hung him and said, what was that? What did I just do? What was
he
that
did,
show?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll never do us again. That's
might have been the low
sure.
point of his broadcast career being on our show today.
Hey, this is good news. Kanye West is being sued. About time, right?
Yay!
It's pretty cool. It's a $5 million class action lawsuit filed yesterday on behalf of a gentleman named Justin Baker Rhett, who was accusing Tidal, the music streaming service, of boosting its subscription base after Kanye very clearly stated, very publicly, that the only way to get his new album, The Life of Pablo, would be on Tidal and no other service. Kanye did tweet on February 15th, my album will never... Never.
Really?
Never be on Apple, and it will never be for sale.
He did say both of those things.
You can only get it on Tidal. Well,
that's such a big liar.
On April 1st, the album suddenly popped up on Apple and Google Play, Spotify, and then the totally free SoundCloud. So if you're one of the jagoffs who spent the money to get a Tidal subscription, I can assume that you would be a little chap-assed about this situation. So this guy...
Seems like false advertising.
This guy filed a lawsuit.
How about that?
And I say, get me on that jury.
Agreed.
You want $5 million? $53 million, Your Honor. That's what I'm awarding him.
When you're the absolute best, you get hated on the most.
Yeah. What about when you're absolute worst? Then what happens to you?
Done. If you look at the past 10 years, have I contributed more or took away more from the world?
Took away?
Took away.
Hmm. All those in favor of taking away?
Aye.
The ayes have it. It's passed. Taylor Swift is the worst, too, right?
These two are together. The worst.
No.
Ugh.
What's this about?
How about Taylor Swift?
How about that, huh?
Huh?
What's my sweet Taylor up to?
Is she reversed in the tunnel? How about Taylor Swift? She's just the worst.
She's not the worst at all.
Have you seen these new Apple commercials that she's in?
Yeah, I have. I have not, no.
Oh,
man.
It's like, oh, I'm falling on the treadmill because I'm such an average girl just like you. It's a horrible edit, by the way.
I made that bitch famous.
God damn.
I made that bitch famous.
Inserting the stunt woman in that. It's just awful. Now she's got a new one, a new ad where she's lip syncing. To the song The Middle.
It's very cute. Very cute ad.
It's not.
She's getting ready to go out. She's got her playlist going. She's singing along to a song she loves. What's wrong with that?
It's very cute. A very cute ad.
It is.
It's not. It's just fake. It's just her trying. Oh, look how cute and normal I am. She doesn't have a genuine bone in her body.
Nothing is more believable than Taylor Swift singing along with somebody else's song that she likes.
Well, if she acts surprised that the camera's
she
there
does.
Suddenly.
She's
no.
Yeah, she's
no,
constantly
she
surprised.
Doesn't at all.
She's surprised by herself that she's actually lip-syncing in a mirror. She can't believe it every time she looks in the mirror. Oh, I'm lip-syncing again. She's constantly surprised. Anyway, she's the worst.
But she's
the worst.
But maybe her biggest crime happened over the weekend. She went to San Antonio, Texas, to attend the wedding of one of her backup singers from her tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems cool.
Yeah. She wore
a wedding dress?
A white dress.
Oh.
Allie?
Bitch.
Right? Ruling on the white dress at the wedding?
You don't wear a white dress to a wedding.
Thank you. Good
Unless
night.
Unless it's an all-white wedding and it's specified. But no, not even beach weddings.
Right.
Wear a nice cream. You know
why one wears a white dress to a wedding?
To show up the bride.
That's correct.
She's the worst.
So scientists have said is now proof that she is the worst.
The scientists have
said. The scientists, okay. Yes. There was some scientists in, I believe, Belgium. I can't find the details in the story here, but I believe
it was science.
It was science.
I mean, you can't support that.
Look, I can't take Ralph's version of stories about Taylor Swift at face value. There may be some
explanation. I'm sure
explanation.
There's a lot of other
There may be some explanation to this. So I don't want to weigh in until I've researched the story on my own.
Uh-huh. The story is she wore a white dress to a wedding.
I did hear that
Boom!
Part. I did hear
that's
that part.
That's it.
That's the facts, Jack.
Right. But for all I know, it was a patriotic themed wedding, and the girl next to her was wearing red. The girl on the other side was wearing blue.
One of those patriotic themed weddings.
Man, I'm so tired of those.
I'm saying there may be another reasonable explanation that has not yet.
Did
been
you say
unveiled.
that was a reasonable explanation?
Well, I just throw it out
another
there.
Another one of those patriotic themed weddings.
Just throw it out there as an example of something that.
And another great example too, by the way. Because we're all familiar with the patriotic-themed weddings where everyone has to dress in red, white, and blue. We've all been to those.
No, but you one single color for each person, so
sure.
She's in white.
Right.
Girl didn't,
it's all about the seating arrangements.
Right. Yeah.
Right,
you
got
to make sure they're seated right.
Because then you take an aerial photo of the reception, it looks like a flag.
If you don't take the right seats, all of a sudden,
you're
the Puerto Rican flag.
Right. Exactly. Thank you, Ralph. Now you're coming around.
No, I'm not.
That's probably what happened. It was probably a patriotic-themed wedding.
And
wrong.
Sadly, Doris Roberts passed away. Legendary, very funny character actress. Probably best known to most folks by her role on Marie Barone on Everybody Loves Raymond. But she was on a ton of other television and film projects, including, of course, Remington Steele. She had a running role on that series for many, many years. First started on Broadway in 1955 is when she first became a star on stage and has just been working nonstop since. Total of 11 Emmy nominations for her work on television. She won 4 for her work on Everybody Loves Raymond. So sad news, she passed away at 90, but much loved it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tim Curry is 70 years old today. Ashley Judd turns 48. James Franco is 38. Kate Hudson's 37. Heard Kate Hudson and her father, in all intents and purposes, Kurt Russell, are going to be doing a TV series together.
Is that right?
About the gold rush. In the 1800s in California, called the Barbary Coast, and it's going to be written, created, and directed by Mel Gibson.
Mm.
And she'll be his love interest, I believe.
I had heard that rumor, but I couldn't find anywhere, I didn't want to report that without having further information.
Since when?
I thought it might be one of those patriotic shows where everyone had to dress in red, white, and blue.
You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs. You really have to show off.
You've got a point, Mel.
If she is, come on, Hollywood.
That would be creepy.
Yes.
Even creepy for Bean, right?
Yes. Enough. I'm sure there's a lot of women around his age that could play his love interest.
Yeah, but none of us want to see them on TV.
Oh, you're a horrible human.
That's true. I second that.
I think it's all needs to be said. We're going to get out there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of program still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. Comedian, actor Ben Glebe on the program later on today. And author Felicia Day. She's lovely, by the way. Coming in the 9 o'clock hour first. So give me some of that Gotham. Alan McKay, what's better than Gotham?
Nothing.
Right? Am I right?
Yes, Bean, you're right.
Monday nights at 8 on Fox Gotham. Please welcome to the studio Corey Michael Smith. He is the soon-to-be Riddler.
Oh,
hey, Corey.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Hey, just chilling in L.A., thawing out in this nice... I'm sorry, can I say that? This is a family program.
I mean, technically, no.
It's not so much that it's a family program. It's just
I wanted to make sure that everyone was awake in their cars.
Good morning.
All my intention here is to save people from traffic accidents.
Well done.
Alertness is key.
You may have caused some accidents, okay. So I'm not sure.
Who explained radio to you that the F word was acceptable? Like, where did you get that idea that that was cool?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I have such great parents. They'd be so disappointed in that.
But it was cold very late in the season in New York, though, right?
Yeah, late in the season?
Yeah. I mean, we're in spring now, and a few weeks ago it was still snowing, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you guys are filming outside a lot, too.
We are outside a lot. This winter was not bad. Last year was really horrendous.
Oh, it was awful.
It was really brutal. This year was actually fine. It was nice.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you used the F word to describe how cold it was then. How surprised were you when you got cast on Gotham?
It was more terrifying than surprising. It happened so quickly. I had one audition with like the lowest, the assistant to the casting directors. They like pre-screened me.
Right.
Cause no one had ever seen anything that I'd done. So they were like, who's this? Who's this dude?
Does that work in your favor or does it work against you automatically?
Well, I think it worked in my favor because, you know, expectations are so low.
Okay, good.
That's where you want to start. And so I auditioned with her and then I went straight to a producer session.
And was it a cattle call? Were you there with 100 guys who looked just like you?
No, I had an appointment. So it wasn't a cattle call, but you know, I really started at the bottom and they shot me up to a producer session and then that was it. And I didn't have to test, which is like the horror story you always hear with TV is that this long process of like auditioning for like 10 suits in a room.
Right.
And then they say you did great. We'll get a hold of you. And yeah. you never hear from them again. You don't hear anything. Right.
It's like dating.
So it's just the F word over and over and over and over and over for yourself.
I heard that your mother was a huge 60s Batman fan. So she's somewhat rooting against you.
My family, I mean, that's like, you know, that's their Batman. I think everyone like has their own introduction to Batman. That was theirs.
Well, that's the real Batman. That's why.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
I don't support that. I love Gotham.
I do too.
Gotham is better.
That is like the colossal like thing for so many people,
right?
Know, especially the generation of my parents.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Corey, could you just hold on for one second? Hey, when we have a guest in the studio,
right?
And he's on a show about Batman. That's the best Batman.
Gotham is by far the best Batman.
Thank you.
That has ever happened. Of every
well
incarnation.
Done.
Back on track.
So, how much did you know about the way they envision Edward Nygma when you went into audition for it? Because you had other Riddlers in your mind from the TV and the movies and stuff like that, but they probably wanted you to put all that aside, right?
Yeah, I think I'm sure that was their hope that we all kind of you know, brought our own thing to it. The sides that we had were just so well written, and it was like evocative of a very certain person for me in my life, and so I had a very specific idea, and I also it's like, you know, his head just moves a little bit faster than everyone else, and so like for me that just like translates to hands, and so I was just like really handsy. Not with a casting director, but just like handsy.
So there's someone in your life that's great with forensics and also murders.
There is someone in that was in my life in high school that was very similar to this person in the way they behave and interact with
people.
Have
we checked?
What a dick that guy was.
But, well, more like right? At the beginning of the series, like when he was like actually just trying to make friends. And
you know what I loved? I loved at the beginning of the series when you're there pretty much the whole time, and yet they don't really reveal who you're going to be for quite a while.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. No, season one tested my patience because I was definitely there.
Hey,
right?
When do I get to be the other guy?
When do I start doing riddles and stuff?
Right.
Just like I would like pop, you know, like pop my head in, say something silly and like walk away. And I was like, I'm like counting on my hand. I'm like, okay, I've done like 15 episodes of the same scene.
And you're calling your friends going, really, I'm on this show.
It's so funny.
Did you start to wonder if you were actually going to eventually become this character?
Yeah, it was just, you know, when it was going to happen. You know, the first episode I was on for like 20 seconds.
Yep.
And I'm like, guys, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
Look, I know you guys are all being patient here on the show, but if my arc could move along a little faster, I'd be happy.
It's so paid off, though. I've had so much fun. You know, it's been like, it's like for me just playing pinball. You pull it back far enough, and then when it happens, it's like so exciting. And I've kind of felt that with you know, with some of our fans, what I've been able to interact with. It's cool.
That's a good pinball reference.
It was right? Good. That's the voice of actor Corey Michael Smith here on the Kevin Bean Show, by the way, from Gotham. He plays Edward Nygma on the show. And you must love it as an actor to be able to play a guy basically with a dual personality, a guy who's having a lot of struggles inside in terms of how to deal with people in the real world. And then also the psychopathic side of him. That must be so much fun to play.
It was fun. When we first introduced, when the writers in episode one of season two wrote in both characters, I was like, well, first I was like, Bruno, our, you know, showrunner, I was like, am I schizophrenic now? Like, when?
Am I losing? Because
I have a lot of problems. Are we adding that onto the plate, or is this like a mechanism to like tell his story? And he was like, "Yeah, don't think of him as schizophrenic. It's just he literally is—he's having a battle in his mind." But shooting that stuff was exhausting and so cool because technically, it's—it's—you know—I'm in a room acting with myself, and there's no one there, and you know, it was like figuring out, okay, how are we doing this? Is are we going to pre-record my voice so I can talk to myself?
Mm-hmm. How did you end up doing it?
Well,
because I always wondered if you were just standing there by yourself, just trying to
trial and error. Yeah. The first episode, you know, it's all just like right in front of a mirror, and so I don't move. So that was not helpful. So the first time I was like, well, maybe I should just do like line by line each character, and they're like, yeah, that's great. So then I did that, and it was literally like me in a mirror saying a line, pausing, and then responding to it. I'm like, okay, this is horrible. This is not going to work. This is a bad idea. And then, you know, our assistant director read lines with me, which I also ended up stopping because I was hearing another voice. So then I started pre-recording stuff and just
talking at least respond to
myself. So I could
voice.
At least hear my voice and how I was, you know, intending to say it. Or
that's a weird gig right there. That's a weird thing to try and pull off.
Yeah, and then they would hire someone to stand in so I could look at someone.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I was like, you know what? That's just not helpful. It's not helpful.
You just can't be pleased.
Wait, why is it not helpful?
Because this person who hasn't read the script that they've just hired for a day, who isn't responding to me, is
literally just staring at me.
Oh. So I have eye line. And I was like, can we just get like a stick with tape on it? And it's like acting. It's like, you know, method versus,
right,
you know, technique. You just be like, all right, that's the job. Like, I'm just going to work with this.
Some
piece
poor
of cake.
Stand-in had to get his heart broken and
right.
say, you're not doing a good enough job.
He we're still use, got paid.
We're going to use a stick with tape.
They had one there every day, regardless.
Been so terrible. Oh, did they really?
So that guy made some easy money.
All right.
We are learning what goes on behind the scenes on Gotham, which, by the way, airs Monday nights at 8 on Fox. How many episodes left this season? We're getting close, right?
Yeah, last night was 18, so we have 4 left.
All right. We'll pry what we can out of actor Corey Michael Smith's mind when we return right after the Sunkey Ride. Corey Michael Smith in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show from Gotham. He is Edward Nygma. He's delightful, isn't he, Allie?
He's lovely and he smells good.
And he looks so good in a sweater, too.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Really? You don't see a lot of guys here. Wearing sweaters out here.
He's right here.
He's
know.
Right here.
I'm just saying. Right. You pull off.
It's chilly.
I love his hair.
Oh, thank you.
He's a dreamboat.
Wow, this is great. I'm going to come here every morning and pick up compliments.
So, Corey, what was the plan when you were growing up? Was it always to act?
It was not. Mm. It was not. When I was... when I was 16, 15 or 16, I was very eager to start looking at colleges. So I did my first college visits over the weekend that I turned 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be a concert pianist.
Wow.
Or,
really?
Or a piano performer.
Did you play the piano?
I was about to start.
Because it's weird if you didn't.
I was really excited. So I went on a road trip with my mother, and we visited all these schools. It was consistent. I just kept meeting these older guys that had spent the majority of their life in a room for 8 to 10 hours a day with an inanimate object. And it's not that they – I just met some very odd – characters.
It wasn't as glamorous and as exciting as you thought it might be.
No, and I really freaked out, and I like people, and I like talking to people, and I like being around people, and I started to freak out about the solitude required for that job. And so I reversed the car and I turned around and went home, and I was like, Next, what am I doing next?
How about that?
Telling your mom that must have sucked.
Yeah.
Mom, you know how we did that whole road trip thing where we went to all those schools?
She was exhausted.
And did you have, to sit down really and just start naming occupations in your head, or did you also kind of like acting?
I loved acting. I did theater. I did my first show in sixth grade, so it was something that was certainly a part of my life. I just didn't necessarily think I was good at that. I think I was a better piano player. I was a really great piano player.
You play for fun now?
I do play for fun. Mm-hmm. My dad actually told me at one point that I should go into music. And
oh, is that right? After you were acting?
Yeah.
Listen, son. Look, I've seen you at both. Maybe piano.
Yeah. I appreciated his honesty.
You grew up in Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Do you hear from people in Ohio who are just now coming across you on TV and they're like, I know that dude?
Yeah.
And they reach out to you online or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's happened a lot, yes. You know, the personal Facebook page is really blown up.
I'm right. Sure. But you're a dick to those people now because you don't need them, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
F word, right?
Whatever it takes.
I like going back. It's really fun. I'm so close to a lot of people back there.
You seem like a very personable young man.
Well, thank you.
I would think it always is fun if you're a cop.
Very odd.
Yeah, it's a strange person today.
You are just a delight.
Well, I'm not around. You don't know this, Corey, but this is like my first time in this city for a long, long time because I don't live here.
You live in Seattle?
I live in Seattle, right. So it's very awkward for me to be in a room and having a conversation with a person.
Yeah.
Humans do. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't care for it at all. I like seeing people on the other side of the internet. You know what I mean? Like,
so you sit in a room,
yes,
and just listen to
yes,
this guy.
And he could see you through that
yes,
camera.
Yes,
there.
But I don't have, right? You know, I'm not like close enough to yeah, touch.
But then he says all kinds of inappropriate things, and then they get annoyed, and he can't really tell. And Allie and I are like, oh no, what
Sorry
do we do now?
That.
Sorry about that. He's weird. That guy's weird.
I'm all a flutter here. This is just, it's very uncomfortable.
That's great.
If I'm being honest.
Why won't you look at him? He's right there. Look at him.
Look into my eyes.
Make eye contact.
I don't. That's not necessary.
That's part one.
That's not necessary.
Eye contact, Bean.
How long will
not with me? With him?
How long will
look at him?
Oh my God!
If you're going to ask a question, look at him.
No, I feel awkward.
Look at him. Yes. It happened.
That was weird.
How long do you expect Gotham will stay on the air?
Oh, my bank account humps for a while.
Okay.
I don't know.
We got a lot of stories to tell, right?
Yeah, we do have a lot of stories to tell. A lot of villains. I'm really enthusiastic about it staying on for a while because I thought we made a lot of improvements from season one to season two. We kind of reformatted some stuff and mm-hmm. got a lot stronger. And
is it fun to kill people on TV?
It's awesome.
Really?
It's awesome. It's so good.
By the way, season one was no slouch either. So
yeah,
it's interesting you would say that.
I just thought it like we keyed into some ways of storytelling that were working. You know, longer arcs, mm-hmm. people crossing over in more interesting ways. And I think we're retooling some stuff for season three, and
it's such a wonderful cast too. I mean, that's the thing. You know, you casting directors are really the unsung heroes of television.
Oh my gosh!
And movies as well, because those people have to have the foresight of what is this actor going to be like in 5 episodes, in 20 episodes, in 50 episodes. And when you see a cast like yours, and you see Ben, and you see Donald, and you see Marina and Michael Chiklis and everything like that, you're like, everybody is so great in their roles, and it just makes it such a delight to watch because you just love watching all those people.
Yeah, it's Sharon Bialy and Sherry Thomas. Mm-hmm. It's the same women that did The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad.
Wow! Like,
these
so
women
they know
are
what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're
so doing. It was truly an honor to.
So they've got a sixth sense when somebody walks in. They can read a person.
And it was an honor to have them, like, you know, really champion me. It was very cool. But the thing that they're also really talented at, and this is, I think this is really maybe one of the most important things, is they know the right person and personality to hire. There's not, like, no one is...
No divas.
No one's a diva on set. And it's a big cast.
Yeah. No kidding.
You know, and everybody plays nice and is...
Have you ever one time refused to come out of your trailer?
No.
Wow,
I don't think anyone has.
Wow,
somebody should.
I don't know that we have problems on set. People are always like, "Tell us some stories from set," and I'm like, "It's so boring because everyone's so nice."
You don't let anyone look you in the eye, though, right? Look at you, man.
And they have to call you Mr. Smith, right?
Yeah. Can I give you another compliment for the show that's not technically for you?
Yeah, yeah.
The writers keep all of these different characters going, and they do it so well. They don't waste anybody. They use you sparingly, but then you'll come back later more, and it's just – it's amazing what they do.
It's a really cool balance. It's a really, really cool balance. It's quite a juggling act.
And then you have scenarios where you think you know who the Joker is, and then all of a sudden he's dead. He just gets
– Or is he?
That's my question.
Or is he?
Because he's wonderful. I need him to come back and be the Joker.
He is awesome. Karen.
Karen's amazing. You know, it's like there is Indian Hill, and you kind of like see these tubes, and there are some
He's in a tube, right?
Faces. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, it's this place where things can happen.
This sounds very reasonable to people who don't watch the show.
There are tubes with people.
Well, Hugo's back now, so I think the Joker could be back. Is the Joker back is what I'm asking.
I'm shrugging. That's what I'm doing.
He's shrugging.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we'll have to wait and find out. So Monday nights at 8 on Fox.
Look at him.
I'm not going to look at him again. I already looked at him the website.
Oh, my God.
You have some good stuff in these final episodes? Some good Riddler stuff?
Because I noticed last night there wasn't a lot of you.
There wasn't any of me.
At all.
I was like, I'm going to make sure I know what's going on.
How to make your dad happy. Well, he hopes you're at home playing piano.
Yes, he requested it.
The episode prior was really – it's kind of like what you're saying. They do a really great job of balancing people. So the episode prior was really heavy. On me, and then they threw me in Arkham Asylum. So, you know, they're giving me some time to acquaint myself with my new,
crazy
new
pals.
You almost got away, though. You got about 5 feet, then tripped on a log. Yeah. It's like, why? Why can't he just have one scene where
he couldn't have gotten 10 feet?
Right.
Yeah. In my defense, I have long legs. Heavy strides.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
What can you tell us about the next four episodes?
So I'm in Arkham Asylum.
Right.
The thing that's so great is, you know, Ed has had such a hard time making friends. No one really understands him. He doesn't really understand other people. And the one thing I can say is,
don't look at me.
He's very B-nest.
When he moves, goes to Arkham Asylum, all of a sudden,
all the wackos love him.
Oh.
He just kind of gets these people.
Right. It's family.
Because
they all have murder in common.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you know, like Dork in the corner is kind of like ringleader, you know, right. It's like this guy, like he understands these people and how they work, and they kind of understand him. And so, you know, lo and behold, Arkham Asylum is actually kind of a friendly place for
That's
him.
That's fun.
So,
all right.
We'll see cool stuff.
All right, shut up. We're out of time.
All right.
Corey Michael Smith has been our guest. The show is Gotham Monday nights at 8 on Fox. Thank you for coming in.
No, thank you.
Great
for
to meet
me.
You. We really had a good time. We have telephone lines that you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, what's good? Kevin, what are you hoping people call with today?
Any questions that you have about TV shows, sports, politics, anything that we're not covering that you think should be covered on The Kevin and Bean Show?
Something in the news that we're not talking about that you want us to? You got problems, you got questions. We are here for you. We are ready to believe you. 1-800-520-1067. That's Ghostbusters. Yeah. That's us. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our friend Ben Glebe, the host of the Game Show Network's Idiot Test, joins us at 8 o'clock this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph with the Showbiz Beat in minutes. But first, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, what's good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
All right, you call us on any topic, get on the air, be part of the Kevin and Bean Show. Why don't we start with George in Venice, please? He's on line four. I think he's got a question that the nation is standing by waiting for information on. Hey, George.
Hi.
What's good?
Wanted to have a quick question on the moaning mix that you guys play every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. The moaning mix. That time where we surreptitiously recorded Allie doing private things, right?
No. Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to ask Allie, because every time I hear it, I just want to know in what context does she say, smell it?
Right?
That's
our question.
I wish I had a definitive answer for you.
Because that is not sexy time talk.
It is not sexy time talk. But I believe we were talking about Rich Dave and how Rich Dave now buys $100 candles. And I said something about, what, you just go into the store and you're like, smell it. Had I known it would turn into what it turned into.
Wait, I
would never have said
smell it. You're making
it
sound like we took your words out of context and edited them together
crazy.
To sound like
crazy.
Something else.
That's exactly what I'm
Could
saying.
Could I hear the tape again, please?
I don't.
This is the original. And didn't the listener put this together from the podcast?
A listener put it together.
All right, so this is a listener's edit of Allie on the show over, I don't know, several weeks' time.
Oh, the company all over me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, dear. Oh. Now you're talking. Go on.
All right. Let's hear some more.
Oh, the best. What? Yeah.
And that's...
Defensive
lineman. Yes, exactly.
That's...
Oh, dear God. I do love the random defensive lineman.
Defensive lineman.
Now, do you have the beer mug mix, too? Could I request?
I don't think. If we need. It's early.
Because then
the
beer mug
and
Allie
and...
were doing it. And we had tape on that, too, because the Kevin and Bean microphones were there. Here's
beer
what
mug
that sounded like.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
Whoa. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Smell it. It's horrible.
Smell it.
George.
That is the worst two words in the language.
It's the worst.
Thank you for the call, George. Let's go to line five, please. La Puente. This is going to be our man, Jeremy, up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Jeremy, what's good?
Good morning. Hootie, hootie, hootie,
as well.
What's up?
Well, following that note, I was going to say Ram it.
I hope people have no idea what you're talking about, because that's a strange thing to say to somebody.
Smell it, ram it. What the hell's going on today? So before I'm happy to play a little bit of that for you, but I just wanted to ask, are you one of the longtime Rams fans who is just, you can't wait now that your team is back in town, you get a chance to see him in person starting this fall?
I'll tell you what, it's Tuesday and I'm saying ram it.
All right. Enough chit chat. Let's do some ram it. Ah, the 80s were a wonderful time, weren't they?
That's it? That's all you're giving us?
I can give you... How much do you want?
All...
Hey, 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 hey,
Question for you guys is, and thank you very much for the call, Jeremy, is do you think that the 80s was such an innocent time that they just said, let's write and sing a song called Ram It,
yes.
and they didn't think of all of the implications of that?
I can't imagine they didn't think about that. Guys have always been guys.
Right.
Right. And the embraceable U's cheerleaders were just ramming it. Come on. Come on.
All right. Let's try Brian in Whittier. He wants to ask a question about a story that Ralph did in the Showbiz Beat yesterday about an unbelievable event that's coming to Southern California this October. Brian, what's good?
What's good, guys? So Golden Voice, the creators of Coachella, just announced that they want to do another event out in the Coachella Valley.
Yes.
October 5th and 7th with a bunch of people, stacked lineup, Bob Dylan, the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney. I'm just totally psyched. What's going on with that?
It's happening and you're psyched.
What's going on with that is it's unbelievable that any festival could afford the kind of money that it must cost to get The Who and to get Paul McCartney and to get the Rolling Stones and to get Roger Waters and get the other acts that I've mentioned. I mean, it's amazing that something like that can be put together.
I got to tell you though, with the space that they have out there, I don't know the exact numbers, but I think 100,000 people a day can fit in there. And if you're selling those tickets, you can afford those bands.
You'll make the money back.
Yeah.
Is that something you'd go to, Brian? Would you be interested in Bob Dylan? Would you be interested in seeing all those people?
I'll be there.
You'll be there.
Okay.
Kevin, you were saying yesterday, no way in hell.
Well, I mean, they're saying, hey, Kevin, don't come out to Indio.
Right.
That's what they're saying with that.
Okay.
So.
All right, thank you for the call. That is going to be something else.
Is Tom Waits going to be there? Is Tom Waits going to be there? Is Tom Waits going to be there?
Let's do one more. Let's make it.
You're the head, you're on the spear, you're the nail on the cross.
Because I'll go out there for that.
Let's do Ramon real quick in L.A. He has a quick question we need to address.
All right, Ramon, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
How's it going, Ellie?
Hi.
So, first of all, I have to compliment Kevin, and I know Kevin doesn't receive a lot of compliments, but thank you so much for forcing Bean to step out of his comfort zone and stare a guest in the eyes while talking to him. That was amazing.
I got to tell you, let me just tell you one second. It's super weird to watch Bean in person because I've known him for a long, long time, 30 years maybe. He looks at Allie, he looks down, he looks at me, he looks at down, he looks at Allie, and then every time he was supposed to be looking at the guest, he was looking down. And I found that weird. Just glance at him. Just a quick glance.
Eye contact is very uncomfortable.
No, it's still great to see kind of Bean still learn social skills.
Oh, he's learning nothing. Bean is learning nothing.
But my question is,
yes.
I'm thoroughly surprised that Bean has stepped out of the Fortress of Solitude in Seattle. And I'm kind of wondering what's Bean doing in L.A.?
That's a great question.
Great question.
None of us want him here.
I have the answer for you, Ramona. Oh. This is going to be, and a lot of people have been guessing this online, too, but I'm sorry to say it's...
Buenos días. Bienvenido al Kevin Frijole programa de radio. Es hora de música, música, música.
All I know is we got a meeting right after the show.
What's good?
It is 7:54.
I was down there, and I watch our police and our firemen down on 7-Eleven, down at the World Trade Center, right after it came down.
You know, on 7-Eleven, when the towers came down, Ralph.
That was
a
bad day. Remember
what the president's talking about?
None of us will forget 7-Eleven, the day that will live in infamy.
All right. Ben Glebe next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Felicia Day at 9 o'clock. First, though, time for the Showbiz Bean. Here's Ralph.
Let me give you something, because you're nice. How about passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Keanu?
Yeah!
This movie looks terrific. Keegan-Michael Key, of course, Jordan Peele, Will Forte, Nia Long, all-star. Story of a couple friends who have an adorable little brand-new kitten who gets stolen by a street gang. So they pose as drug dealers to infiltrate the gang just to get their kitten back.
Like you do.
If it was a puppy, you could understand it.
Right.
But a kitten, you just... You just put down a bowl of antifreeze and say, drink up, Keanu.
I don't think I'm even going that far.
That noise. And then,
I'm not even with you on that one.
Then
now.
You got a doorstop. The doorstop.
Now I'm with Allie and Bean.
Forget Stoppy. Just get Keanu just to prop that door open. But these guys apparently want to save their kitten. Looks hilarious. You can go to KeanuMovie.com for more details and to watch some trailers. If you'd like to see a very special advanced screening, we're having one at the AMC Century on April 27th. The movie, of course, will be in theaters everywhere April the 29th, but you'll see it before anybody else. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Keanu.
Ah, can't wait to see myself in that film.
Not that Keanu.
Yes, that's my name.
Right, but you're
so
not...
So I assume I must be in the film.
The name of the cat is Keanu.
Excellent. Does the cat kick ass like John Wick? Is it a kick-ass cat?
Well, I mean, it is a gangsta cat.
Excellent.
So maybe.
Yes. So the answer is yes.
Okay.
Kick-ass cat.
Right. It's a cat.
Excellent.
Right.
Thank you, Keanu. Let's confuse that guy. Strange. congratulations to Adam Levine and his wife, Bahati Prinsloo. They survived a minor car accident last Sunday afternoon in Malibu, California. Apparently, they were just out grabbing something to eat when a green Ferrari smacked into their Tesla X. You know how it is when it's rich-on-rich crime, when a Ferrari and a Tesla collide in Malibu. You know the horrors that can be had. It's like living in the hood there in the boo. Apparently, Adam and Bahati Prinsloo are fine. Oh, Bahati Prinsloo is my favorite Indian dish. I like to get it with a little naan on the side. I like it spicy. Yeah. I like a spicy Prinsloo.
I can't believe Kevin wasn't involved in this accident, by the way.
How dare you?
Because he gets in all of them.
Right?
With all those accidents he's gotten in twice over a lifetime.
entire life.
Right. Baywatch, the movie. That's unnecessary, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, I will say...
Your sweet Zac Efron or whatever you
Is he in it? I know he was in it.
Oh, please. You
know, I was just going to say, although...
Motioning up to whatever Zac Efron's doing.
Isn't The Rock, Kevin, somebody who makes... almost every movie enjoyable.
Yeah. Yes.
He's that likable and that fun to watch.
Yes.
So maybe this will be all right.
Saying you can't stop The Rock?
I am saying that.
What you saying when he's on screen?
He's not going to, but put that and take it back.
Yep.
Priyanka Chopra also stars in the film. along with Alexandra Daddario.
Yay! Oh, my goodness.
Shelley Rohrbach. Yay! As I mentioned, Dwayne Johnson and Zac Efron.
Yay! Oh.
Just added to the cast? Well, now it's just softcore porn, basically. Uh-oh. Remember Charlotte McKinney?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Model Charlotte McKinney.
On the Super Bowl Carl's Jr. commercial,
she was the Carl's Jr. actress in that commercial who ate the all-natural burger. She was nude, just strolling through that farmer's market.
Brr. Yes, I do.
She apparently has just joined the cast.
Greatest of all time.
You're right, Ben.
So it's just going to be just a boob jiggle fest.
Well, then take back what you were saying about that movie being unnecessary.
It's unnecessary.
Both are true. Completely unnecessary, and I'm going to go and watch it probably five times.
Bean has the creepy mind of a 12-year-old who has to look in the lingerie section of the Sears catalog to inflate his pants.
Look,
let me tell you a little something. Porn exists. As long as there's plenty of porn, until I've seen the end of all porn, I really don't need a Baywatch movie to get my jollies, you creepy effer.
I'm saying there's a movie that might be fun that also appears to star a lot of very attractive...
Well, it's going to be fun, though. I said it's going to be lots of boobs. You're like, oh, then it has to happen.
I believe you said boob jiggle fest.
Yes, that's what I said. And that's what he reacted to. Not that, Dwayne Johnson's going to be so charming and entertaining on the beach.
I'd like to hear Bean define fun. He says that a lot.
It's going to be fun. Really?
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
What do you mean by fun?
I'm not likely to go, but my point is, it's fine that it exists. I don't think this is the movie we need to be lashing out against. There are a lot of other films that are a lot more unnecessary than this movie.
Like?
There can only be one?
Angry Birds. Angry Birds is not a thing that needs to exist. Nobody needs to make a movie out of Angry Birds.
Why?
This at least has something, at least there's some appeal that can be seen.
What's the appeal for you, Bean?
Well, I mean, you know,
Boob Jiggle Fest.
A lot of people have fond memories of the Baywatch TV series, and it'll be fun for them to...
No one has fond memories of the Baywatch series.
David Hasselhoff's the only person with fond memories of the Baywatch series.
Wasn't it one of the most popular television shows of all time?
Yes, because it existed in a time before internet pornography. Mm-hmm. So you'd watch television and watch Pam Anderson jog down the beach in slow motion in a red bathing suit.
It's not possible this movie will be a good time at the theater. It's
Define
not possible.
Good time.
Again, something you know nothing of.
You're going to go, Kevin, and you're going to walk out going, you know what? Enjoyed it.
But that's Kevin. You can't use him as a bellwether.
Hey! Of course he can.
Are you turning on all of us, Ralph?
I'm just saying.
He's been against all of us this entire time. You're just now learning that?
If you just all tell the truth, then we wouldn't have to have these conversations.
We can't use Kevin as a what?
Bellwether.
Okay.
Look it up, sister.
Oh, I believe it exists.
All right, then.
In olden times.
1930s Bean, what does that mean?
As a barometer, as an example.
I think Bean's pants want to see this.
As a thing to judge things by.
Better.
There we go. Now everyone understands in the room.
Delightful.
Go smell it, Allie. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Anderson Cooper was right. This show has got off the rails.
I'm out of time. A lot of people had birthdays. Happy birthday to them. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You just can't go bringing your dogs into a country without permission, Kevin.
Right, but how big a deal is it?
Here's how big a deal it is. Last year, when Johnny Depp and his wife Amber Heard went to Australia, I think he was down there to film maybe some pirates. They brought their dogs with them on their private plane.
Right.
And when it was revealed that the dogs were in the country and they did not have the proper paperwork, the government of Australia freaked the F out. Agriculture Minister Barnaby Rose issued a 72-hour ultimatum to the couple to get the dogs out of the country or they would be put down. Johnny Depp's dogs. Put down, I tell you.
That seems like
extreme.
A bit of an overreaction, maybe.
I mean, look, I understand that you want to have some control over what diseases are brought into the country.
So you find them or whatever, and everything's fine.
And you take a blood test and you go, hey, your dogs are fine. Right, exactly. So anyway, so there was a talk that Amber Heard was going to have to go to jail for this, but apparently this week, finally, months later, they worked out some sort of a deal. I think there was a fine, but Johnny and Amber were also asked to make an apology video. And if you've seen the video online, it frankly doesn't look like they're very invested in this
performance. Oh, you're wrong. They put their heart and soul into this one.
So how believable are they talking about the great country of Australia?
Australia is a wonderful island with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world. That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. When you disrespect Australian law, they will tell you firmly.
I am truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared. Protecting Australia is important.
Declare everything when you enter Australia.
What's his accent?
Declare everything when you enter Australia.
He's so just angry that he has to do this.
Look, we had to do customers. What was the thing we had to do?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Community service. We had to do community service. So you know what it's like. You don't do it with a smile on your face.
No.
You do it like, I can't believe I have to do this. And that's what happened to Johnny Depp in the video. But at least he and his wife are not going to jail. At least Pistol and Boo are fine. So
right.
There is a happy ending here. And we thought we'd catch up with Mr. Depp on the phone and find out more about the story. Hey, Johnny, welcome back to K-Rock, sir.
Hello, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. Are you glad that this legal drama is finally over down under?
Yes. Australia's a wonderful island.
Yeah, we heard that. That video doesn't seem like you're really putting your heart into it.
That's not true.
Okay.
I love Australia.
It's not an enthusiastic endorsement the way you deliver the lines.
Australia's the greatest country in the world.
Right, but you sound like a guy who there is a gun on your head just off camera.
That's not true. We're very sorry we took our dogs to Australia without following the proper procedure.
Our thing is really how much trouble could that have caused?
Well, they wanted to kill the dog.
They did want to put the dogs down.
A completely reasonable response to what we did was to murder two small Yorkshire terriers. The war on terrier.
War on terrier.
Of course.
So
the Australians are completely reasonable.
Reasonable people.
Intelligent people who respond appropriately when some minor rule is broken in their country.
Okay, but now that it's done,
that it's done, they're wonderful people.
Right, but now that you're off the hook.
The island is magical, and they fart unicorns.
Oh, wow.
They fart unicorns?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
That's nice.
But you don't have to say these things anymore. The case has been dismissed. It's settled. You're free to travel to and from Australia. What's the real, how do you really feel about Australia?
According to my lawyers, I could not be happier with the Australia.
That's part of the deal, Beam.
I believe that they are a wonderful, magical people, and rumors of the stink that emanates from them is greatly over-exaggerated.
It is. Okay. What stink?
The stench of stale beer, cigarette smoke, and didgeridoo spit.
And that's not true.
That is greatly overstated.
Right, because that would be an unpleasant thing.
That would be unpleasant.
Right.
I love Australia more than anything.
Do you?
It's my favorite. It's my favorite hellhole. and to celebrate, I'd like to play their national anthem.
Okay. Wow, this is quite a tribute.
Just one note, though.
Doesn't sound like you're really playing a song as much as you're just blowing into a horn.
That's a didgeridoo.
Johnny?
That was pretty sweet.
Johnny?
Bring it home.
Should we just hang up, or?
On the national anthem of Australia?
That would be rude.
Wouldn't
that would
be in their
rude.
Crosshairs? Yeah.
Are we done, Mr. Depp? Do you have to go?
Is this part of your sentence? It's a terrible national anthem.
It's not great.
Australia, their national instrument sounds like a rhinoceros farting.
Thinking too much. I've been thinking too much about me.
Hey!
What?
That's not a hey. That's not a hey.
It felt good. I think it's an upbeat song is when you have to do the hey. I think.
Come on, Chip.
It felt good.
How do you argue with it felt good?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a while, but our friend Ben Glebe back in studio. Comedian, actor, podcaster, game show host on GSN for the Idiot Test. Ben, how are you?
I'm so well. I can't believe I'm seeing you in person.
Yes.
My mind is blown.
This is very fun for me as well. Have we ever met in person?
Never.
Wow.
Really? Never met in person.
That was a lingering hug for two strangers.
I haven't met anyone in person, but the thing is...
You're very tall.
Ben, and let me say this about you, if I may return the compliment.
Please.
You look so great on television, but in person, you are a schlub. I am stunned at how much they have to clean you up for TV.
Not sure if you know what compliments are. That's not one of those. He just hugged me and nuzzled me into his chest. I felt like we were close, and then boom, a stab right in the heart.
That's Bean.
Yep.
Right? Like that's Bean entirely.
When is the next flight to Seattle? Is that soon? Or?
I believe it is afternoon. So, Ben, congratulations on Idiot Test being back for what? Its second season?
Third season.
Oh, yes. It's been out one season.
It has been out. It's been out two.
Okay.
So it's never aired before.
It's never aired. We're premiering for the first time never, and it'll be great.
Why? I blame the Game Show Network for not getting into my brain that it came back last week.
I agree.
I apologize that I missed the premiere, but you had Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood on?
Yes, we did.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, they were my premier guests. They played against YouTube sensations Glozell and Gabby Dunn. Mm-hmm. And Mike Catherwood killed it.
Did he?
Did amazingly at the test, and Dr. Drew board certified everything. Failed pretty bad at most of the tests.
For folks who haven't heard Idiot Test, describe the kind of questions you ask, the kind of game it is, and what kind of mind is best in your experience at solving those puzzles.
Sure. So Idiot Test, we give people these visual brain puzzles and sometimes auditory ones that work on radio. And two contestants try to solve these puzzles, and it's just you're a little detective looking at the scene trying to figure out what the one correct answer is. You touch a huge touch screen, and every second that the contestants don't answer, they lose money. Every second. And if they win the grand prize, they win 10 grand. If they lose, I make fun of them on national television.
Yes. Sweet.
You're very good at that.
Thank you.
Do you think Dr. Drew didn't do well because he has a scientific mind? Like, maybe it doesn't necessarily work with your game?
I mean, that's a real rosy way to spin that. I would just like to think that we write, you know, brilliant puzzles.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah. That's why the show has not aired yet, because the public's not ready for it.
It's too good.
Yeah, exactly right. And it just tweaks people's brains. You know, I help write the test. I'm involved in every single test. I try to make sure that we have these angles into the test that are going to just trick people's minds, or you won't necessarily think of it. Then sometimes we can play against type where they expect some crazy trick, and there's not.
And it's more simple. They're looking for a zebra, and it's a horse.
Yes. Drew and Catherwood got held up on tests and literally said, it's now or never. That was the test. And then the words now or never appeared below. They said touch either. And they let all the time run out because they had no idea what to do.
What?
Yeah.
Because the answer is either
now or never.
So you click on one of them. And
I understand.
Oh, I thought you were looking confused.
They just couldn't
figure
it out. So
because they thought that was a trick, probably.
Right. They thought there was something they couldn't
understand.
There
had to be more to it than that.
Yeah, and look.
But it doesn't have anything.
I'd be great at this game.
To do.
I don't think so.
I will quiz you guys if you want.
It doesn't have anything to do with intelligence, right?
Well, no, I disagree. I think it's one of the more intelligent. It's not nothing to do with, like, book smarts, but it has more to do with – it's one of the only game shows that tests real intelligence. Most game shows in the history of time, it's just trivia.
Right.
If you happen to remember some arbitrary fact, this, you don't have to know anything. You could be brain dead. Mm. You could wake up from a coma. Come in.
Kevin?
We're all pointing at Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin.
You could be brain dead and still win this game.
Well done. You got never. Oh. Nice.
I want to hear some questions. I want to play.
Sure. So you come in, and then as long as you can deduce and figure out, I'll start you easy.
Because let's face it, you wouldn't want to hang out with any of the people who are Jeopardy champions.
No. I would.
But someone who's good at Idiot Test.
No, there's a guy named Alex from Chicago.
Okay.
He was fabulous.
All right. All right.
Yeah, our game's more of a MacGyver. Skills.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody that does well can help you out of a jam, you know?
Okay. I like it.
All right, let's try this. There are 11 donuts. You take 3. Ellen takes 2. How many donuts do you have?
11!
Incorrect. You have 3. You take 3. I just said it. My God. That was an easy one, guys.
And that is why Idiot Test is the best.
Let's do another one.
Kevin. All right.
We let each other down.
By the way, you were right there with me. That's
really
good for you.
I know.
And let me ask you, did Kevin celebrate? His fists were jostling in the air like Kirk Gibson hitting a home run.
Yes.
I thought it was a trick because there were 11 donuts.
But
I wasn't listening.
What I think is fascinating, Ben, is I understand the pressure to act quickly on TV because, as you explained, you start losing points and money if you take too long to answer.
Yeah.
These guys didn't have that.
How dare you?
But they still couldn't. They were racing. They were racing to the answer. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a time limit to answer if they hit the button immediately? Because that's what I would do, is just hit the button and then try and figure it out. Have a time limit.
You just touch the screen and you're locked in, and the question's done. That's your answer.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So once you lock in, you're done. So you can take some time to think. It's better to get it right and low money than wrong and no money.
Not
that's what I always say.
50-50.
It's smart.
One more.
You want to get no money. That's the way to do it. You would not be great on the show, but you're welcome to come try. You want to try another one?
Let's try
one more. Yeah.
All right. How about this? If two of these headlines are true, which one must be false? Carlo wins race. Carlo loses race. Carlo finishes second.
I'm going to say neither because they're both true.
Two of the three are true.
Oh.
Carlo wins race. Carlo loses race. Carlo finishes second. Which two headlines must be true?
The loses and the came in second.
Correct.
There you go.
Yes.
How are you playing? Yeah. Oh, I got it.
What does two and three mean?
Number two and three, the second, third one.
The order that I said them. now he just draws his fists in anger.
Man. I got it right, and you gave the credit to Allie.
Listen, she buzzed it first.
Maybe my brain couldn't remember what two and three was, but I'm saying things in random orders. I can't take any credit for that.
This is unlike anything that's ever been on TV before.
That's what I'm saying. It's a different.
That kid hates it.
It's a different kind of show. You know, I don't know any other show that makes you laugh and think in the same show. I don't know. Other than this show, guys. Kevin and Bean, at least one of the two.
There's very little thinking
and
more laughing.
Yeah, but that's fine.
I know we're going to take a break with Ben Glebe here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Game Show Network, by the way, with new episodes Wednesday nights at 10. Do you have people who come in?
Tuesdays at 10, sorry.
Is it? I'm sorry. Yes, Tuesdays at 10. Do you have people who come in who get mad because they're convinced from watching the show now that it's been on two seasons that they're going to be great contestants? And they just can't believe that they're not.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's incredible.
People like on Survivor, it happens all the time with people go, I've watched every season of this game. I can't be beat.
It's very stupid. People come in very cocky, and they believe they're going to be great, and that's usually their undoing, honestly.
Is the difference that sitting at home and doing it is one thing, and then standing there under the pressure with the lights and the cameras and everything else and doing it?
That's part of it.
The timer, that seems like that would make you a lot more nervous.
That is part of it for sure, but also I'm a very intimidating presence. You guys feel that.
Sure.
You feel it coming through.
Do you wear members only on the show?
I would never. No, I wear a suit. I'm trying to be very intimidating. This is to humanize me.
And I'm still intimidating.
Because he would seem too perfect if he showed up like
this on TV. That's exactly right.
So he's wearing that jacket to go, look how imperfect I am.
That's exactly right. Members only on, nuzzling into Bean's chest. There's a lot I can do.
Right.
But people come in, and another thing that they come in is they just, a lot of times they'll come in and they just believe that they've figured the game out. And that's when I just love it. Something about the air changes, and I believe they're going
to
fail.
They're
it's
just
great.
Set up to knock down at that point.
Yeah,
I love
it.
All right, the host of Idiot Test is here, our friend Ben Glebe. More in a moment after this on K-Rock. Ben Glebe in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian, actor, podcaster. He claims to be a podcaster. Hasn't put up a new episode in like 6 months.
No, I'm back. I've been back back for 6-7 weeks already.
Really?
Every week.
Because you're dodgy, man.
I'm back.
You take a lot of
Bean, are you just making stuff up?
I just read whatever Christine puts in front of me.
I did 5 years. I took 7 months off. I needed a break. I don't have a staff. It was me by myself. Uh-huh. But I'm back on the Smodcast Network, Last Week on Earth. Every week I summarize the news, make it funny.
Okay.
Politics.
I will allow it.
Thank you.
Well, it's nice.
And, of course, the host of Idiot Test and the Game Show Network, Tuesdays at 10. Tonight's episode is special.
Yes.
I've seen the GIF of you shaking that ass.
Yes, indeed. You retweeted it. Thank you for that. It takes place in the 1970s. I play 1970s game show host Gene Gleeburn. Chops. And
I got that reference, by the way.
Thank you.
I see what you did. I'm old enough to know what you did there. That's very clever.
Thank you. The whole thing is with 70s vibe, 70s set, and I host it as though it takes place in the 70s. There's some very funny moments that happen towards the end. I will just tell you one part. When one team leaves and loses, I say to them, listen, you guys made a loss, but just go home, relax, put on a Bill Cosby album. That guy is so likable. We'll still be talking about him in the 2000s. All right. There's a lot of fun moments.
Are the
really
idiot
ridiculous.
Tests from the 70s as
no,
well?
No, they are not. And actually, it leads to a hilarious juxtaposition towards the end of the episode. That's all I can say. Something, a moment you will remember at the end of the episode, tonight at 10.
How was wardrobe for the leisure suit that you selected?
Oh, it was great.
Did you have it in your closet?
I did not. I brought in options.
Okay.
They did not approve them. They bought me a yellow leisure suit, and let me just say, I still have pain in my nard area.
Is that right?
Can I say that on the radio?
You can, yeah.
Pain in my nard area?
Yeah, sure. Nard is an accepted medical term.
Yeah,
so
of course. Yes, it's a nards. That's what you say when you're in medical school.
Exactly, correct.
You slowly incite the nards.
Now, how often have you done theme episodes like this?
A lot. We did a decent amount last season. This season, our third season, almost every, 70% of the episodes are themes, rivalries. This season we have burlesque dancers versus ballet dancers, country singers versus rockers. We have a scary episode. There are always themes or rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
Almost the whole season, Harry Potter fans versus Twilight fans, mm-hmm. mummies versus zombies. And then we literally have an all-nude episode coming up this season.
Go on.
Including
All nude.
Including the host?
Listen, let me just say, I apologize in advance to the world. I'm largely nude in this episode.
Okay. How big is the pixelation?
And largely, you know what I'm saying? The pixelation starts small, but at points it gets bigger.
Oh.
Let me just make that clear.
It goes back smaller?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, there's a solid 5-7 seconds where it's a real large pixelation.
That's about
you
right.
You can't sustain that.
No.
I have to host a show. I'm not a multitasker.
He's
I'm not Hillary Clinton.
He's just one man.
That's exactly right.
He's doing what he can.
My God, the man's contestant side of the stage, I tried to avoid. I didn't let them play test. I'm like, yeah, guys, here's the money. Just take it. And I stayed on the right with these ladies that were incredible. And it was the worst time possible to have attractive naked ladies next to you in front of an audience and a national TV audience.
I have to tell you, maybe it's just my own ignorance, but this sounds racy for the game show network.
They're taking some chances.
They're going
man.
For it,
They're
man.
Really going for it. So that's pretty insane, pretty racy for sure. And then tomorrow night, I have a special called Political Idiot Test, where we're taking a brand new set, new format, mixing it up completely. I have two political pundits from opposite ends of the spectrum, big time.
Okay.
We have Tommy Lahren from The Blaze, Glenn Beck's network, mm-hmm. going up against Cenk Uygur from The Young Turks,
ultra-liberal.
He's awesome. They're gonna be, and I'm moderating this thing, trying to talk politics, make sense of this insane election.
Do they fight?
We're taping it tomorrow, and it airs tomorrow.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize
that. It's totally day and date. We'll be doing news of up to the minute, including New York primary results tonight.
Can you try to get them to fight?
Oh, I will. We have things planned to really make it fiery. And it's tomorrow at 11 p.m., 4:20, 11 p.m. after the Skin Wars premiere. And then right after that is another episode of Regular Idiot Test, Chelsea Lately Reunion. So
this is
a
lot of Ben Glee.
It's too much. America doesn't need that much, I'll be honest.
Ben, I know that you are a very politically savvy guy, and it's something you've talked about in your act and on your podcast over the years.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like the election that it is almost impossible for people to find common ground.
Yeah, you would think so, but that's interesting. We went and did a field piece. I don't know if it'll make the show out on Hollywood Boulevard talking to people from around the country. And actually, the country's a lot less polarized than the media makes it seem.
Really?
Like, I had a long debate with a Donald Trump supporter who was making very reasonable, smart points. And he said, look, I think some of the things he says are unhinged and insane. I think when he talks about the wall being a beautiful wall, it's going to be a gorgeous wall. His wall's just as good as everybody else's wall, but he makes it sound great. We're going to have a ruby doorknob on this wall. It's going to be great. Like people,
is that your impression?
Listen, I don't need this. I don't need that. I shot promos for my special doing Bernie and doing Trump, and the network said the Bernie was good. We're not going to use it though because of the Trump.
Saturday Night Live last week made fun of the fact that Bernie Sanders always talks as if he's yelling at you from the other side of a river.
Oh, it's 100%
true. That's so true.
No inside voice whatsoever. Really, he's like, we have to make sure the special is seen by the 1%. The 1% only was. Is that a little better for you?
Yes, much better.
A little stronger.
Yeah.
That's the stronger of the two for sure. I would talk to a Trump supporter, and they say, look, he says crazy things. We don't believe that.
Okay, that's scary.
I know.
Because if that's the case, they really will vote for him.
Yes.
I think a lot of people just like that he angers everybody in politics.
And some of it will drop off for sure.
Yeah, but if some people say, you know what, he's talking nonsense, and they know it, and they think he knows it, they will vote for him
real. It is a little scary. I think there's a chance. You know, if he gets a nomination, either he'll become president, and I give us over under 6 months for World War III.
Okay, good.
Or the Republican Party, as we know it, gets destroyed by him, and then they have to start from scratch. You know, so we'll see. It's going to be very interesting.
Didn't you say on the stand-up that was on your website that maybe it's time for scorched earth? Maybe it's just time to start over, like just till the soil.
I did
and
say
begin.
That. Yeah,
begin again.
Trump supporters won't even realize that. It's like they just want change so bad, as do Bernie supporters. There's just these populist anger candidates that just want anything that's different, not a normal politician, that people justify whatever Trump says. Literally, Trump could say, look, if I become president, I will burn down America. People will say, listen, I could get behind that.
Listen, it needs to be burned down.
He could use a good slash and burn.
Right.
You know, let the soil lay fallow for a while. That's a decent agricultural standpoint, and you have to respect it.
Look, it works for farmers.
Yes.
Why wouldn't it work for America?
Exactly right.
Do you love – is it a thrill for you, Ben, as a guy who follows politics, to be sitting here this close to a presidential election and have no idea who's going to be president?
Yes.
Do you love that?
Totally.
It's not boring.
It's scary. It's not boring for sure. It's interesting. It is really interesting to see what's going to happen. I mean, it's the first time you just don't know. I don't know who's going to get the nomination. It could have a brokered convention on both sides.
Yeah.
There could be a celebrity cage match to determine.
I feel like if we were going to have a correspondent, a political correspondent.
That would be Ben. Maybe we need to talk to you during the convention.
Between now and when the election is, we need to have Ben.
Yeah, I think you're
bring
the guy.
Bring it into sharp focus.
I would love to do that because that's what I do. Is I take the ridiculousness and I make it silly and fun.
All right, let me get the times and then we have.
Did I get the job, you guys?
You got the job. Yes. Let me give the times for all of your various things this week, and then we'll close on the big news that you just found out.
Sure.
Okay, so tonight there's an idiot test at 10, right?
10 and 10:30, two new episodes.
And then tomorrow night you got the political idiot test, and that's at 11.
Special one-time event, 11
p.m.
And then
right after that is your Chelsea Lately reunion for Idiot Test.
Yep.
So three big Ben Glebe shows in the next 2 days.
Yes, that's correct.
That's fantastic.
On GSN.
And the big news that you want to reveal to the Kevin and Bean listeners today is?
I can't announce what network yet, but we just got word that my first one-hour special will be broadcasting on a major cable network. Produced by the same people that did Jay Moore's special and Dice Clay and Brad Williams.
Wow.
And
wow.
All right. Coming out in June. So that's
wow.
very
June. No kidding. June,
pretty soon. Pretty excited about it.
Have you filmed it already?
Yeah, we've already filmed.
Okay.
It was one of the best, maybe the best set of my life. And,
really? Yep. So you know going in, of course, this is might be the special. They're going to record it. I got to really step up my game.
Yeah. Oh, no. I knew that was the special.
Yeah, yeah.
It had to be the special.
Okay.
There was 13 cameras filming, and I only had one show. Usually you get two shows.
Yeah, yeah.
I had one show. I had to focus completely. I was only given this slot 9 days before we tape. Usually you get like a year to prepare your special. But I've been preparing for my whole life, doing stand-up for 15 years. I was ready for it. I just needed to hone.
So you nailed it.
And I went to Burning Man right before the special tape, had no voice,
right there.
Recovered in a hotel like Nick Cage and leaving Las Vegas for an extra day, put it together, ran the set a bunch, and then went really, really well. And yeah, it has been taped, and it's going to be called Ben Glebe, Neurotic Gangster.
I like it.
I like it.
Everything's coming up Ben right now, you guys.
That's right.
Great to see you again, my friend.
It's raining, Ben?
It is raining, Ben.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's raining,
Ben. Hallelujah. It's raining,
Ben. Oh, I like that.
Amen. Hello, 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
Actress, author Felicia Day joins us in studio coming up right after 9 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We haven't had her in since her book came out in the fall. So it'll be nice to catch up with Felicia. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning.
You'll be happy to know that Little Big Shots over there on NBC...
Little Big Shots.
Still doing great numbers. That's Steve Harvey talking to kids about the crazy and wacky things they do.
Now, I haven't watched the show, Ralph.
Well, you're lucky.
But is it literally just a six-year-old who can pop a wheelie? I mean, is that what the show is?
It's just filled with kids. Oh, they say the darndest things, and then
they should
do
name it that.
They do activities that are just average. And... 10.6 million viewers.
Oh, my God.
Kids are watching stupid. On Sunday night.
Kids are stupid.
So you get to see Steve Harvey talk to a kid who can stack cups. And it's riveting television. It's something that everyone should watch all the time.
Why do you suppose it's so popular?
Because people are dumb.
All right.
I don't know. Listen, I have a small child. I find her wildly entertaining, and I think everything she does is charming and brilliant. However, I also have the wherewithal to recognize that no one else in their right mind would think that about my child.
And if they did, you would want them locked up.
I would not put them on television. I would not put my child on television and say, watch her draw a heart. And I know these kids are more talented than average, but still, they're just playing instruments and dancing and doing somersaults and stuff. Okay, kids can do things. Is that a show?
Apparently so.
They should call it Kids Can Do Things. That's what they should call it.
Two blacks go into a bar.
Okay.
One of them says, what's up, homeboy?
Okay.
And the other one goes, what's up with you, mother f***er?
That doesn't seem good.
I'd watch that.
It's not even a joke.
You'd watch that.
Not even a joke. See what I'm talking about? That's not even a joke. There's no punchline there.
Kids are cool, but at the same time, they're kind of dumb.
Gwen Stefani's hitting the road again this summer to celebrate her new album, This Is What the Truth Feels Like. Tour begins on July the 12th in Mansfield, Massachusetts. Where's Mansfield, Allie? Is that just outside of Boston? Is
it's
a suburb?
By Foxborough-ish.
She doesn't know.
I don't know. No idea.
It's a big concert place.
Right.
There in Mansfield? And then it'll be wrapping up on October the 15th in Los Angeles. Where's Los Angeles, Allie? Do you have any idea?
It's south of Ventura-ish.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got a $1 million contract, and you're still waiting for your hot track.
In her defense, that's just her rehearsing. So
she's still got it.
Not quite ready.
She might want to work on the sound system there. It sounds a little distorted. So wrap up October 15th here in L.A. As I mentioned, and Eve will be opening all of those dates.
Oh, that's a good
Eve's her opening.
That's a good double bill right there.
Yeah,
did she do a duet with her at some point?
Yep. Okay. Sure did.
More music news. Some right-thinking American is suing Kanye West because he's a big, fat liar who lies. Kanye West, when he released Life of Pablo, he was very vocal, very adamant about the fact that in order to hear that music, you had to subscribe to Tidal. Here's what he tweeted back on February the 15th. My album will never, never, never be on Apple. It's three nevers.
Okay.
And it will never be for sale. You can only get it on Tidal. Well, Justin Baker Rhett paid the subscription service to Tidal what they asked in order to sign up for the streaming service. And then on April 1st, the album was suddenly up on Apple Music and Google Play.
Wait a minute.
Spotify. It was totally free on SoundCloud. It was in your mailbox. You could get it inside a loaf of Wonder Bread.
Is that right?
Wow.
Pretty much anywhere you wanted it.
You liar!
And this guy's like, hey, what's up with that?
By the way, sounds like he's got a pretty good case.
So he filed a class action lawsuit on behalf of everyone who got suckered in by Kanye West.
It's about ideas, bro!
And Jay-Z for $5 million.
But let me, I don't disagree with you that it's a bitch move. But
here
let me just ask you this. This guy signed up for Tidal because he wanted access to the Kanye West album. And he got access to the Kanye West album.
He was told that was the only way he'd be able to find that material.
Right. So it sounds like he wouldn't have done that had he had any
The promise was that was the only source for that material.
Mm-hmm.
If he had known he could get it on, I don't know, SoundCloud for free,
right?
Maybe he would have held off on paying Tidal what they asked for their subscription rate.
How could you explain that?
I just did.
He was misled, Bean.
Okay. All right.
Misled. The lawsuit calls it unfair trickery.
And shenanigans?
Yes.
Were there hijinks and ballyhoo?
There was tomfoolery.
Shenanigans?
Shenanigans.
Wow. Pulling out all the stops in this lawsuit.
And the lawsuit wants all the database info gained from those Tidal subscribers purged from the service immediately. You can't have our info and you can't have our money.
What's this guy hiding? Is that what we're saying?
I don't think
so. So far, no comment from Jay-Z, Tidal. But Kanye did have this to say.
Guilty!
Wow.
He's admitting his guilt.
How about that?
I'm stunned.
I don't understand it, bro!
That's what I was expecting more so than the guilty.
Well,
if you knew that you had the guilty queued up, and I
guilty.
Said...
Guilty!
Right, I understand what the drop is. But if I said, then Kanye had this to say.
Guilty!
No, but I'm saying if that's what you it had ready to go, that. Wouldn't there be a little synapse that would fire and say, oh, I bet maybe I'll just hold off on playing that drop then, because that's not Kanye West at all.
Why?
I don't know, it just seems
guilty.
Reasonable.
You know, for me to say I wasn't a genius, I would just be lying to you and to myself.
See, if we have all the Kanye drops in the world at our disposal to play, any one which would fit into the setup of Kanye had this to
I'm
say,
not following you.
I
pops and
what would go
over
through
here.
My mind is, well, I will just let Bean then play a Kanye West drop, and I'll hold off on my planned drop of playing the guilty.
That's not correct. That is invalid. Completely invalid.
Why?
Just saying, after a couple years in radio, these things might present themselves.
By now, if it hasn't?
Just saying, a red flag might surface.
Why?
Yeah, well, you got that one. We know you have that drop.
Oh, you have no idea.
We know that's ready to play. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Tim Curry's 70 years old today.
Nope.
Really? You're not going to ask why? I'm surprised. I'm stunned.
Why?
Kevin is unpredictable.
If nothing else.
And right on top of it.
But I thought consistency was his importance.
I've heard that.
How can he be unpredictable?
I heard a smart guy say that once.
Consistency is his importance. Oh.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Still doing the good work that you knew before you left.
Nothing is true.
Consistency. That's my importance. We're going to catch up with Beer Mug's mom.
That's what I said. What does it mean?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Did you say that we noob?
Yep.
At the beginning,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, I screwed up at the beginning, too. It's just then I made a bigger mistake after that, so nobody paid attention to the first mistake.
That we noob?
You know. Yes.
One Why? More time.
No, not one more time. One We're more. Out of time.
Oh, one more time. What
come on.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Still doing the good work that you knew before you left.
Nothing has changed.
Consistency, that's my importance. We're going to catch up with the
Beer Mug's mom.
That's what I said.
What does it mean?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, goddammit.
Here's what I like. Bean has so gotten used to it.
Doesn't even register.
We're going to catch up with Beer Mug's mom. He just doesn't even hear it anymore.
Now, he's the guy who's learned to walk on the hot coals. He's the guy who's been to the retreat so many times. Tony Robbins has gotten him through so often.
Yeah.
His feet are just used to it, man. Doesn't even feel the pain anymore.
Why?
Just keeps on going. Ashley Judd's 48 today. James Franco's 38. Kate Hudson is 37 years old. Hayden Christensen turns 35. And Maria Sharapova, tennis player, 29 today. How can she just be 29? Hasn't she been playing tennis for like 40 years?
I feel like she's been famous my whole life, yeah.
It's crazy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
She is an actress, a webcaster, and a New York Times best-selling author. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Felicia Day back to the Kevin and Bean. Hey, Felicia!
So glad to be back.
New York Times best-selling author.
No big deal.
What number did it get up to?
It was number 3.
That counts.
What was above you?
That's
BS.
Stupid Hillary Clinton wrote a book or something?
It was the Tahitzi Coates book on race.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry I mangled the name, but yes.
Okay.
And I think the other one was a political one as well.
That's nonsense.
So you did the best you could with it.
I did my best.
We had you in, and I just want to recap just very briefly because I thought it was a fascinating talk when you came in because you wrote this book called You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost, and it basically talked about – it was your life story about how the internet kind of – is your thing. You grew up with the internet, and the internet became the thing.
The internet raised her.
The internet did raise
her. It's really actually true. I was homeschooled, so the only outside contact with other humans I had was through dial-up computers.
Wow.
In the old days.
That's some slow conversation.
I want to tell you about having to use the internet on your phone.
And
we don't mean looking at a smartphone. We mean dialing up on a telephone like a call is how the internet used to be.
Yep.
But you talked so much that last time you were in about how, thank God, you had this way to express yourself. You know what I mean? And how, what a wonderful time we live in that anybody can express themselves on the internet. And if you have no real friends, you can find a place for you on the internet, right?
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, growing up so strangely, I always felt like an outsider. I still feel like an outsider. But the beautiful thing about the internet is that however strange or weird or an outsider you feel, the internet can allow you to connect with other people to make you accept yourself versus reject yourself to fit in around the
people. So now you can find furries anywhere.
It's true. I know some furries.
You can find people that make you look normal as well if you want that. If you need to look normal, there are people that go way further beyond you.
I mean, what's normal?
That's all good.
Right. What's normal, Kevin? Come on.
Me?
All right. So you wrote that book.
Are you the standard?
I am the standard. Thank you for noticing.
Trouble.
So you wrote that book and it was a big success and that was hardback. And now it's a paperback.
It is a paperback now. I have a bonus chapter in it.
Now, tell me about that. Like, what was so stuck in your craw that you thought, all right, I'm going to go back to that well and write more to add to the book? Because you didn't have to.
No, I did not have to, but it partially the trauma of book tour.
Is that what the last chapter is about?
The last chapter is a lot about book tour and also coming back from writing a whole book about yourself and thinking, what next? And then, you know, being depressed.
Like, it's out? Am I out?
I mean,
is that what you're thinking as an author? Am I out? Was that my one book?
No, I mean, I'm young, I think.
Sure.
You know, relatively, to write a whole book about my life.
Right.
And then you feel like, oh, okay, I told all my stories. What do I have to offer now? But I'm super insecure and have imposter syndrome. It's a thing I'm working through. So what I did was I took a month off. I redecorated my house. And I also started working out. Because that's the LA thing to do. When you're depressed, you go and work out.
I don't recognize this girl anymore.
Yeah.
Really?
What happened?
She's working out. She's leaving her house.
No, but I don't know.
She didn't say she's leaving her house. She said she decorated her house.
Okay.
I decorated my house because I don't want to actually go out of the house.
Now the whole house is a gym.
Are you working out at home?
No. I do this thing called ClassPass, and I go to the weirdest classes I can find. Like the other day I went through this thing where you stand on a vibrating plate.
Oh, yes.
What? Have you
and
done it?
It makes you feel so itchy everywhere.
Yes.
That's
yes.
a thing?
Yes.
What?
You
What's
just
happening?
Stand there and jiggle.
Why?
It's insane.
And you do like push-ups on the jiggle, and your body is basically being traumatized into thinking you're falling, and you sit there for 30 minutes doing exercises.
It's like when you get really scared and your butthole clenches.
Yes.
That's your whole body.
Your whole body is a clenched butthole.
Yes.
That doesn't make it sound sexy. I have to be honest.
And how do you feel afterwards? Just wrung out?
You don't feel good. I mean, everything's painful. You kind of feel like the, you know, when you go on a boat and you feel like sea legs.
Yes.
This is vibration leg. Like okay. You can't walk for a while.
I got super itchy everywhere.
Wait, is this a big thing or just a thing?
It's a thing.
Because has anyone checked into the science of it? Maybe it's bad for you.
I Googled it and one person said it was legit.
Okay, good. Yelp gave it a thumbs up. Yep. So 3 stars.
You said it's a class pass?
It's a class. Oh, there's an app that you can get. It's a flat rate every month. You can go anywhere 3 times a month.
Okay.
So you could just cobble together. I went to like aerial yoga last week.
What's aerial yoga?
Aerial yoga.
Okay.
Is this
see?
While you parachute out of a plane, you have to get in downward dog on the way down?
That would be amazing. I would take that class. No, this is like, it's a hammock that's hung from the ceiling, and it's kind of like you climb it, kind of like Cirque du Soleil, except I have no upper body strength, so I just sort of hung there on the bottom.
That doesn't sound like exercise. That sounds like a nice nap.
It wasn't a nap, but it was demoralizing.
Okay. Yes. All right. So vibrating plate.
It was disappointing. Okay.
Vibrating plate.
Yes.
Right. And then hammock.
Hammock. There's one that I'm going to next week that is a surfboard. You just stand on.
I've done that.
Is it good?
What's happening?
I did live shots on all of these. But okay. Yeah, the surfboard is so much harder than you think it's going to be.
Really?
Because I would never go
in the water.
It moves. It's
what?
Not. Yeah. That surfboard doesn't just stay stationary. It moves.
Wait. Is that a surfboard? This is supposed to be a workout, right?
Is that the one in the valley?
No, it's in Hollywood.
Oh,
assume that it's the same concept.
Probably the same people. Yeah, they've got sand down, then they've got a bunch of different surfboards. And you
Felicia, did you already try regular working out, like in a gym, and didn't like it?
Ew.
Okay.
I don't.
No, wait, ew, because of people, germs.
There's people in this thing, too,
what?
That you're going to.
I mean,
not
yeah.
Not as many.
They're not as many.
Okay.
Also, germs, that's a good
germs,
thing.
Okay.
And you look weird if you're just wiping everything down with Purell when you go into the gym. Mm-hmm. Guys always look at you when you go into the gym, which is like, I don't need to look at you. You shouldn't look at me.
Okay.
But going to a lady gym seems confining.
I feel like you need Sia's hair. You need Sia, the hair that comes right down.
Just right over there, you can't
that's
see anything.
The answer.
How do you feel after you've done all of these workouts? Do you feel a difference in your body?
Mostly I injure myself, but I feel justified when I have like rice pudding or molten lava cake.
Wow, that is a crazy treat, rice pudding. You're really going
favorite.
For it.
That's my favorite. Is that an old lady treat?
Yes.
It's not
Go
young.
With the molten lava cake. Go with that.
What's a young dessert? Is that like cotton candy?
Well, I just feel like...
Like a velvet cake.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Yeah, that's young.
Yeah. All right. Felicia Day, as weird as ever, is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The book is called You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost. And you're going to stick around for more chat, I hope. But I do want to say for folks who can't stay with us that you have a live event tonight at some imaginary place that you made up called the Bootleg Theater.
I didn't make it up.
It's a real?
Place, it's near Alvarado and Beverly, which is an odd place. No, not to judge. It's just I haven't been there.
Okay. All right.
But I'm doing it with Will Wheaton, my friend Will Wheaton. So
fantastic.
Rather than just be all about myself, we're just going to ask each other random questions.
So you're going to be interviewing each other?
Yeah, kind
on
of.
On stage?
We're not sure.
And how does this relate to your book? Are they selling your book there too?
Yes. I'm going to they're going to sell the book, the paperback, and I'm going to sign it.
So. Can I just clarify it's tonight?
It is tonight.
And you're not sure.
I'm sure it's tonight. I'm just not sure exactly where
What's
to park,
okay?
So don't ask me where
right.
the
okay.
parking
is. So if you want to see Felicia Day and Will Wheaton apparently on a surfboard tonight, that's going to be happening at the Bootleg Theater at 8 o'clock. Tickets available at LiveTalksLA.org. LiveTalksLA.org. More with Felicia right after this on K-Rock. Felicia Day in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Geek and it's geekandsundry.com.
Geek and Sundry is my company. Yeah.
That's her company where she puts lots of awesome videos up. And also she has written a book, which is a New York Times bestseller, now out in paperback, available everywhere. It's called You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost. Earlier today, your friend Ben Glebe was in on the show.
Yes, Ben Glebe.
And he said that you're the very first person he ever met when he moved out here.
He just told me I was the first person he ever did improv with, which
wow.
I didn't know I had that privilege of taking
no
that
kidding.
From him. But
for a long time, you guys knew each other and worked together, right?
We did. We did improv at the Empty Stage Theater, which is now shuttered on the West Side. And that was our home when I first moved here in like the early 2000s. And a lot of really great people came out of there. Kristen Wiig was actually there.
Wow.
He and I both kind of worked with her too. So.
How different is your life now compared to what you thought it was going to be 15 years ago when you were doing those improv?
I don't know, man.
You couldn't have foreseen a lot of this.
No, because everything, I just wanted to be an actor, you know, and all this internet stuff happened because I picked up a video camera and shot things in my garage because Hollywood told me nobody wanted to know about gamers. And I was like, screw you, Hollywood. I think my best work comes from Screw You, Hollywood, actually.
Right. That should be the name of your next book.
Yeah, no kidding.
Should be.
Screw You, Hollywood. Speaking of exciting things that you could have never anticipated happening to a young Felicia Day, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes.
So huge.
Is back.
Are you a fan?
Huge.
Sorry.
It's back and you're in it and writing for it.
I am. I'm actually – okay, this is a good story, actually.
Okay.
The only reason I'm in it is because I was at a convention during my last book tour in October, and I saw that Joel Hodgson was there as a guest. Mm-hmm. And my brother is the biggest Mystery Science Theater fan ever, and I went up to him to take a selfie just to rub it in my brother's face.
Just to burn. Yeah, okay.
Just to burn him. Mm-hmm. And so out of that conversation, he emailed me about a month later and was like, hey, do you want to be in it? So I'm
That's such a sick burn on your brother.
I know.
Best burn.
It's like rubbing his face into like the lava in Krakatoa.
So you show him the picture and it's crushed. Yeah. And then a month later you go, by the way, I'm going to be on it. I wouldn't buy it if I was him. I was like, yeah.
BT Dubs.
You're funny.
I forwarded him the email, but I took out Joel's email.
Yes, because so he gets stalking, right.
Exactly.
That's an ultimate BT Dubs, by the way, which is I'm going to be on Mystery Science Theater 3. So what are you doing on it?
So I'm writing on it as well, which is really cool. So I get to riff horrible movies, which I can't say the names of, but they are bad guys.
Right.
In a very enjoyable kind of way.
So they're not out of bad movies yet.
No. There's plenty to mine. And the cool thing is that when you talk to – when we have the little conference calls about the movie, Joel loves the movies. What I love about him is that he doesn't hate on the movies. The worse the movie, he loves it. He has a genuine like, wow, can you believe they did this? This is a masterpiece.
And when he says masterpiece, he means bad.
Yeah, bad.
Okay.
But like in a good way.
In a good way, right. Are you surprised? I mean, you were a fan, but are you surprised that the internet essentially has insisted over and over and over again that series come back?
I think it's
people
great.
Never got over it.
No, and
people
you
never
know,
were willing to let it go. It's like Pee-wee. It's like we're not going to let you not make Pee-wee anymore. Do it.
Yeah, he actually tried to sell it, and nobody would buy it. He shopped it around town, so they decided to do a Kickstarter, and it's the number one Kickstarter raised money in history.
Wow. I think they're still raising money.
Wow.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's true.
It's ridiculous.
So when's all that?
So the writing's going on now, and filming will be later this year, and I'm really excited about it because Patton Oswalt is in it. Jonah Ray is the new Joel, but there's a lot of guest stars and things that came out through the Kickstarter campaign.
That's fantastic.
It's really fun.
All right. So people come tonight. They see you at the Bootleg Theater with Will Wheaton.
Will.
And that's livetalksla.org. This sounds like it's going to be a fun event because of the venue and because Will's going to be there and whatnot. But a lot of these book signings, are they weird and creepy for you? Because you're not a big people fan anyway. And just line up and have 100 people come up to you and talk to you and get your autograph. Is that weird and hard for you?
You know, it got hard because it's never creepy. Because my fans are awesome. They always bring me cupcakes, the sugar gets me through. But it does fatigue. It's very exhausting. You're on the road. I could never be like a stand-up comic or like a door, you know, a salesman because it's always flying and landing. And then
the on-the-road part, that's the difficult part of everything?
Yeah, and just meeting so many people. Like,
you have to be on.
Yeah, you have to be polite to everyone.
How much are you Purelling afterward?
To the point where I started going through the airplane scanner convinced that just tumors were growing. Like, I got to that point of hypochondria. Have you ever been there?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because you touch so many people.
Yes.
That it's like at some point you just – if you think about it, it will drive you insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this mic right now is
– Oh, that mic should scare you.
That should.
Yeah. That mic's got some
– okay, enough.
Ben right. Glebe was here. So.
Say no more. Say no more. All right. So the book is out in paperback with a bonus chapter. Buy it. Read it. Love it. Look for Felicia tonight with Will Wheaton at the Bootleg Theater, livetalksla.org. That's going to be fun. So when you come back and write, you got your next book, Screw You Hollywood, come in and see us.
I will be here. And to be honest with you, my friends are more excited about me being on this show than me being a New York Times bestseller. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
Yes.
You need different friends.
You do.
Thank you for coming.
I was down there, and I watch our police and our firemen down in 7-Eleven, down at the World Trade Center, right after it came down.
You guys remember on 7-Eleven?
Hey. Nope.
When that happened?
No, it's not a hey.
Too late for that. Not a hey either. All right, 9:41. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's on.
What's on?
It is on.
What?
The war.
Against?
With? The war of Satan versus God.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. I'm eager to hear more.
Pat Boone is upset.
He's alive?
He's alive.
Insane.
He's got to be
wild. Wow. He is upset because Saturday Night Live did a sketch that was a parody of God's Not Dead 2.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, it was basically a spoof on all those ridiculous God movies that are coming out now. In God's Not Dead 2, Melissa Joan Hart plays a public school teacher who's persecuted for answering a student's question about Jesus in a public school.
Right.
And so they put her in the stockades and they throw rotten tomatoes at her and she's burned at the stake and bad things happen because her faith, because she has faith and they're evil.
Right.
So Saturday Live did a sketch, a filmed spoof about a teacher who's being compelled by the ACLU attorneys to publicly declare that God is gay. And she says, no, God is a boob man. And that was the name of the movie, God is a Boob Man. About how God is straight and he loves women and loves heterosexual sex. And
it certainly was a not very funny sketch.
It sure wasn't funny.
To get them in this kind of trouble.
But Pat Boone said it was more than just not funny. It was diabolical. Uh-huh.
You do not want Pat Boone on your ass.
God. not in this case, apparently.
Right.
God has only one real enemy, Satan. Satan ridicules faith, and they're taking Satan's side. Now, let me also say, in the name of full disclosure, Pat Boone is the producer of God's Not Dead 2.
Ah, okay.
So he may have more at stake in this fight than just protecting God's feelings.
I guess, but I believe that God probably doesn't need Pat Boone's help.
God has a sense of humor, Pat admits. Why else would he invent the porcupine and the giraffe?
Oh, no, he didn't!
Burn! Charbroiled!
That was said?
That's what he said.
That's fantastic.
Yep. Something can be devilishly funny, but this skit is diabolical.
Ralph, we kind of got fired from appearing on Channel 56 back in the day when we used to sometimes host the video show down there in Orange County because, you know, Pat Boone owned that TV station for many, many years.
Right.
And one time we were involved in a conversation where I may have suggested how much I enjoyed his daughter, Debbie.
Debbie Boone, who had a big hit with that You Light Up My Life song.
Yeah, and Bean went on and on about how attractive she was.
Right,
and how I've seen her.
I'd like to light up her life.
Something like that, yes.
And by life, I mean vagina.
Right, and I think word got back to Mr. Boone, and he did not see it my way.
Because you're on Satan's side.
Which is that she was an attractive young woman who would benefit from us being together.
Because you're not the porcupine or the giraffe.
I'm not the porcupine or the giraffe. So
you're just on Satan's side.
I hadn't thought about Pat Boone for a while, but I think we've got a long-standing feud with Mr. Boone. So I guess I got to be on SNL's side for this one.
I won't waste my breath demanding an apology, he said. They don't answer to me. They answer to the one they defame, and there are consequences.
Okay.
Here we go.
I don't believe this is a race war.
Race war is on, everybody.
No.
It's going down.
Race
war.
Isn't SNL also in some hot water with other groups about their heroin AM ad that people are all upset? I heard
yes,
that parents of addicts or something are get all outraged that they did that spoof.
The skit was outright sacrilege, says Pat. When they go to hell, they'll be charbroiled.
He didn't say that.
He did. He has a point, though, because as a result of a sketch on Saturday Night Live, millions and millions of Christians have denounced their faith and have decided to leave Christianity.
I don't think that's accurate at all.
I feel like that's the opposite.
Oh, wait a minute. Not one person.
Right. It didn't really affect anything at all.
It has not diminished any one Christian's belief in Christ or God at all, that sketch.
That sketch did not make anyone laugh, but it also did not make anyone cry.
That's true. So I have a hard time seeing where the damage is.
But what about the children, Ralph?
Well,
what about the children?
Unless the children were watching that sketch and finding it as unfunny as I did, I don't think there was any harm to the children either.
Right.
I was upset with it for a completely different reason. I kept saying, really? Really?
It wasn't good.
Why do you watch
God's
it
a boob
every
man.
Week you watch it?
There's some good things in it.
Every week you...
Sometimes there's good things.
You also admit every week that it's terrible.
Well, mostly it's bad, but once in a while there's a good thing.
There's always something I'm glad I saw on every episode. Not every episode, you know, stands up start to finish, but there's always something worth seeing. And oftentimes there are good musical guests. That also wasn't the case this weekend, but a lot of times there are.
Pearl Jam's is the latest musical artist to cancel a show in North Carolina over the bathroom law. Bet Pat Boone loves the bathroom law.
Sure.
The band was supposed to perform tomorrow in the capital city of Raleigh, North Carolina. But they said that the law is, and I quote, a despicable piece of legislation that encourages discrimination against an entire group of American citizens. Pearl Jam also said they're going to make a donation to the campaign that's fighting the new legislation that forces transgendered people to use the public bathroom according to the gender on their birth certificate, not the one that they currently identify. So they are no longer performing there. Also, Boston has canceled their show there.
Well, now it's personal.
President of the Boston fan club said, Boston's still together? So,
their lead singer committed suicide like 10 years ago. How is Boston still a thing?
You can replace singers.
Okay,
turns out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I give you Journey.
I have more than a feeling that that band will go on and on regardless of whoever is singing lead for them.
You know, it's been a long time since we've been able to talk about Boston, but I'm glad you brought that up, Ralph.
You all right, Kevin?
Come on, Kevin.
Come on, Kevin. It's fun, right?
It's not fun.
Don't look back. Look ahead. We're having fun.
Come on, Kevin.
And we have to score a point for Bean.
No way.
Yeah. Look, who wants to say that less than I do?
Right. Let's
so you know,
all be
if
the
I
judge.
Have to say it,
let's
then...
Let's all be the judge.
Well, you know how Bean is fascinated by all the unique ways that people take their kids' teeth out on the
Thank
internet.
You. Yes, I am.
Remember all those videos with people using guns to take their kids' teeth out
right?
when they get loose?
I do remember that.
Remember all the gun videos we saw of kids getting their teeth
well, I don't
shot out?
The videos as much
that
as
that was
I remember.
An example.
Okay, that was a bad example.
Now, Bean said on the internet you can find videos of kids losing their teeth because parents are using guns to get their teeth
That was
out.
A bad example, but I was right about the people who hook the tooth up to a door and open that, or hook it to a car and drive away, or hook it to an arrow. There are a lot of things that people are doing to get those teeth out of their kids'
guns.
Mouths.
He's Mr. Bad
Example. Why do you bring this up?
Because there's a new video that has taken the internet by storm. It is a Marin County dad named Kelly Starrett, who is a huge Star Wars fan. So he got creative when it came to pulling his daughter's loose tooth. He tied a piece of string around Caroline, his little daughter's tooth, and attached the other end to a Millennium Falcon drone.
Oh, no.
What the?
He sent the Millennium Falcon soaring into the air, and the tooth went with it. Pulled the tooth right out of her face.
How about that whole deal?
Right? Huh? So it's a viral video online you can find now that everyone's talking about, but apparently, yeah.
A lot of people use guns, too.
I've heard that.
Yep, they hook the tooth up to a bullet, and then just shoot it. Boom. It's pretty cool.
Even though her tooth was removed by the Millennium Falcon, her dad says she can still chewy. See now!
Honestly, Ralph.
Yeah!
Is that your Chewbacca?
I got a frog in my throat. Today's celebrity birthday is Maria Sharapova is 29 years old today. Hayden Christensen. Speaking of Star Wars.
I don't like this planet. It is full of sand. I would like to leave here and become Darth Vader.
He's 35 years old today. Kate Hudson's 37. James Franco's 38. Ashley Judd's 48 years old. And Tim Curry. Frankenfurter himself. Of course, went on to a very popular career in TV and films. He's a bit in ill health these days. I believe he's confined to a wheelchair.
Oh, no.
A stroke, yeah. But... still one of my favorite performers, 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Garbage joins us in studio.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about the All New Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow.
Probably,
which
both.
Is just in general.
Probably it's Garbage.
Yes.
Ralph, you going to talk to Shirley tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't know if I can face her. You know how I feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
New
I
music.
Love her too much.
Garbage has new music. Very excited
and
about it.
And your
that.
Fear is that you would say something dumb or embarrass her.
No, it's just that she's
yourself.
So wonderful and I'm so meaningless that I don't want to bother her world with my BS.
But she couldn't be any nicer.
But she doesn't need me.
Okay.
I got to agree with Ralph on this one.
I get it.
Why should I be a gnat on the back of a majestic gazelle?
Wow. That's a good example.
That's a great question.
Right?
We finally get that one answered tomorrow.
Tickets to the movie Keanu tomorrow
How
on the show.
I see you've met my. I'm sorry, just do my Tim Curry.
Veep is coming back.
Oh, yes. No, you
Yay.
Didn't.
That's a TV show.
That's coming back.
That's
the one I like.
It's about time. It's about goddamn time that show came back.
It has
back.
Been off since the 90s.
Oh, I miss it so.
Tim Simons joins us in studio tomorrow. Very excited about that.
Shana.
And what should we do with guys that take pictures of random girls' butts?
That's not what we're. That's not a topic that we're doing.
Prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
That's not what happened anyway.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean Show.